Time for high school football coverage on Candleland Radio. All the big plays, touchdowns, defensive stops, all right here on Candleland Radio. The atmosphere's picking up, the teams have hit the field, and we head to the action live at the field with high school football coverage on Candleland Radio.
It's the first Friday night in the month of October. It certainly feels like fall, a cool, beautiful evening here. Just right outside of Jackson Heights High School, home of the Cobras, we bring you week six of high school football here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Here on the Cobra Channel as well, at MSCSports.net, we bring you Jackson Heights and Troy, a Class 1A District 4 showdown. Again, good evening, a cool night here. And just outside of Holton, I'm Brandon Tabman. Thank you so much. We got a full crew once again. Crendon and Kyson Prophet, both of the Cobra Channel, joining us. Trenton Kraxner alongside. Colin Fellkamp is our studio producer. Well, for Jackson Heights, they dropped their first game of the season last week at number 2 Centralia. Panthers won that contest 48-12. So the Cobras trying to bounce back after their first loss of the year. Troy got off to a slow start, but they looked really good last week in a strong performance with a 60-14 win at Moore Hill Mounts Academy in what was a non-league, non-district game. As you take a look at the series, Troy 8-4 against Jackson Heights since 2004. Troy won the matchup last year 32-0, and the Cobras had won 4 straight in the series prior to that game last year. Coming up here after a timeout, you'll hear my conversations with both head coaches as our game tonight is presented by Rainbow Communications. Again, a full crew, a full house, beautiful night in the month of October. It's week 6 of high school football, and our pregame coverage continues after a timeout on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Have you checked your internet speed in a while? More and more devices are connected to the internet in our homes. Things from refrigerators to thermostats are becoming dependent upon Wi-Fi. Head over to rainbowtel.net to check your speed and make sure your home stays well connected. Are you interested in fast, reliable, dependable internet that meets your needs and provides you with the latest in broadband technology? Check out Rainbow Communications, your friendly, local, community-driven service provider. Stop into one of our locations or check us out at rainbowtel.net.
Are you confused about your insurance coverage and not sure what you are buying? At Kellerman Insurance, we value each of our customers and strive to build a solid relationship with you. I am Christy Wilson with Kellerman Insurance. With over 123 years combined experience, educating our customers and helping them understand what they are buying or not buying is a priority. Check out our website to see the many types of coverage we can help you with at KellermanInsurance.com.
Pre-game coverage continues here tonight on KNCA. I'm Brandon Tabman, joined by the Troy football coach. That is Derek Jasper here for a couple of minutes as he helps us preview tonight's opponent in Jackson Heights. Coach, what stands out about this Cobras team here in 2023?
Yeah, you know, first initial thought's going to go to their quarterback. He played last year against us as a freshman, so he's a year older, and still doing some of the same stuff he did. Well, he can run around and make plays, and then they've got some receivers that are dangerous weapons for him, and they've got a pretty good running back also. I did see him struggle a little bit against Centralia, but man, I thought Centralia, I watched that film and I thought Centralia played about as well as I've seen them play also. They were really focused and locked in, and Zach Knight just kind of ran into a buzzsaw there, you know, when they had to go to Centralia. So I think they'll bounce back from that really quickly. This is obviously a very key district game, and you know, if you lose this game, you're probably not going to have a home game in week 9. There's still a lot of football to be played, but you know, that's kind of the way you got to think. Mentality, and you kind of want to have that home game in week 9, so be big to go out there and get a win, but always tough to go out there and play a well-coached team. They've done a good job defending us in the past. Last year we ended up beating them 32-0, but it was really a much closer game than that, and they did a good job at, in getting us to fourth down a lot last year, so they've always done a good job in their past coverages against us, and I don't expect anything different this year. It's going to be a dogfight, and it'll be tough to win out there as it always is.
Yeah, certainly will be always a tough out. And you talk about Drake Mellies again, that's their quarterback. But, you know, last year, as you mentioned, that Drake kind of stepped in late in the season, but they were kind of going back and forth between him and Cade Holiday. Now it's all Drake's show at quarterback, and they put Cade at running back. And they've had a couple of games where they've both gone over 100 yards. They seem like the two guys to key in on, you know, just what's so good about their running game. What do they do well with their offensive line that makes that part of their game so successful?
Well, they always have good offensive line play, and they've been huge some years, and some years they're not as big. This year they don't seem to be quite as big as normal, but they have a better quickness up there up front, do a good job, and they come at you with a lot of different formations. You know, used to when you played Jackson Heights, you were going to see double tight wishbone, Smith Center offense, and now they don't do that quite as much. They could against us, I don't know, but they spread you out and run. They can tighten up the formation and run. So just a lot of the different looks they give you, and you know, we certainly have to key on the quarterback and running back some, but then they can also kind of keep you on your toes with their passing game, which used to when you played Jackson Heights, you really didn't have to worry about them throwing any because they weren't going to throw the ball. They were going to line up and smack you. And they're capable of doing that again, but now they've also added the dimension where they can spread you out and throw the ball on you. So kind of makes it a tough scout, a tough prep this week, but the kids are just going to have to be locked in again on game plan and scouting report and watch some film and try to do what we can do and slow them down a little bit offensively.
Finally, coaches, give us a couple keys and expectations for this one on Friday.
Turnovers and penalties, probably. Whenever we get against the chains, I mean, we don't. They know we're going to throw the ball out anyway, but, man, we have to keep them off balance where they at least think we might run the ball. So you can't get in third and 13. Can't give up sacks. They do a lot of blitzing on defense. You know, if we catch them in a blitz with the right play call, it could be a big play for us. But also if we miss and they get a sack, that puts us against the chain. So they've turned the ball over some this year. I saw them turn the ball over a couple times early against Riverside, and they forced a lot of turnovers. So it seems like turnovers are going to be a big factor in this game, and you know, who maybe can win the turnover battle might come out on top.
Head coach for the Troy Trojans, Derek Jasper, joining us here. We appreciate your time, Coach. Good luck tonight.
Thanks a lot, Brandon. We appreciate you.
At Ronkirk's Body Shop, their experienced staff will assist you when you most need assistance. Making friends by accident since 1983, Ronkirk's Body Shop will get you back on the road in no time. From painless dent repair to body work, they do it all. With newer vehicles being built with aluminum, many shops can't assist. Have no fear, Kirk's is here. See Ron, Teresa, or Derek today and become a part of the family tradition since 1983. Ronkirk's Body Shop in Holton, Kansas, taking the dents out of accidents.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
When you see those commercials on TV from the big global banks, remember, they don't give a hoot about you or us here in Kansas. Instead, when you bank in your hometown, your money stays in the local economy and it recirculates many times over.
Denison State Bank, putting your interest at heart.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Pre-game coverage continues here tonight on KNZA as we get set for Jackson Heights and Troy. We got the Cobras head coach Caleb Wick joining us. Coach, very good Troy team coming off a nice win, a balanced offense. They like to throw it a lot. Good quarterback, good skill position guys. What stands out about the Trojans going into this matchup?
You know, they're an athletic football team. They got great skill positions, like you said. They got to have a great quarterback. Their line's physical, they're fast, and I know Derek does a great job there. He always has them ready to play, and, you know, by this time of the year, they're always playing their best football, so that emulates a great coach and a great team. And for us to be successful on Friday night, I mean, it's just going to have to be on our offensive line again. You know, we're going to have to be able to have some pushes. We're going to have to execute a lot better than we did on Friday, and Troy runs a lot of different stuff. They're multiple on defense as well, and they try to confuse you up front, which is, you know, a great defense. So it's definitely going to be a tall task for us, but hopefully we can come out and execute.
You know, Centralia with the win last week, kind of separating themselves in the district. But, you know, obviously Riverside sits there 1-1 as well, but you got the win over them. Just how crucial is this game to put yourself in the driver's seat for that number two spot and still put yourself in a good position come playoff time?
That's a huge game for us. Not just because it's a, you know, get the inside shot on the two seed in the district, but it's just another Friday night. It's another Friday game to get better. I know Troy wants this game bad. I know we want this game bad. And like you said, Riverside. So we have two or three teams right there vying for this number two seed in the district. And, you know, from top to bottom, I think it's a great district and it's going to be a tall task for on Friday, but we just need to come out and execute and be ready to play.
Yeah, you talk about execution, but just give us a few keys and what's it going to take to beat a very solid Troy team this week?
It's going to be up front. Especially with our guards and tackles. So, you know, they're going to have to play a lot better. And I think whoever wins the battle of the trenches will come out on top on Friday.
That's Jackson Heights football coach Caleb Wick joining us here tonight as our pregame coverage continues for their matchup against Troy. Coach, thanks again. Good luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
And just moments away from the opening kick between Jackson Heights and Troy. Thank you so much for hanging with us our first Friday night in the month of October. Certainly feels like fall. We're locked in on 103.9 and the Cobra Channel at MSCSports.net. Cobras and Trojans, once again a Class 1A District 4 showdown between these two teams. I'm Brandon Tabman, Trenton Craxner alongside, of course, Crendon and Kyson Profit with the Cobra Channel. Troy won the toss and decided to receive. And Trenton, again, these are two teams that want to do opposite things offensively. Troy's going to throw it. We've seen Jackson Heights. They want to run it. Two contrasting styles, and I think we got a good matchup here tonight.
Yeah, it's like Mike Leach's air raid offense meets Army or Navy football, where it's sometimes a triple option running the football, but I think this kickoff might go out of bounds.
And the opening kick bounces at the 25, and that's Christian Etherton that just has to jump on it at the 24. And so Troy from left to right here in the first quarter, wearing their white road uniforms, and their quarterback, the 6-foot junior, Gannon Bowe, getting ready to take the first snap on offense for the Trojans, who put up 60 last week in their win against Moore Hill Mount Academy. But Troy at their own 24-yard line with just a second gone by. So here we go. Troy 8-4 against Jackson Heights since 2004. They won the matchup last year 32-0. And the handoff is to Jack Hartman. He is the ball carrier, gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's it. No gain on the play, brings up second down and 10. When they do run it, it'll be Jackson Hartman. He is the main running back, leading rusher, does average about 8 yards per carry. But just getting back to the line of scrimmage, no gain on the first play. Second down and 10, just shy of the 25, just getting going, no score. Trips right, man left. Bowe sends that man in motion left to right. That's Etherton. He'll take it on a jet sweep. Doesn't get the greatest of blocks, but able to at least avoid one tackle and get out of bounds near the 30. So an end around to Christian Etherton to the 30. It'll be a gain of 6, and it'll bring up a third down and 4 play.
Yeah, and Etherton's by far their most explosive playmaker. So getting the ball into his hands is going to be a focal point. And can you contain it if you're the Cobras?
Well, he's their leading receiver by far at 110 receiving yards per game. That was just his fifth carry of the season, so they don't use him a ton in the run game. But he gained 6 there. Third down and 4. Biggest play so far early. Bowe takes the snap. 3-step drop. Throws it to the near side. Caught for a first down. Makes a man miss. 41-yard line. And that is Logan Blevins. And they will officially mark him out at the 41. It is a gain of 11 yards and a first down.
That was a good tackle by Cade Holliday, who was playing linebacker, dropped back into coverage and securing the tackle around the 41-yard.
It's going to be a tall task for the DBs here for Jackson Heights. They got, Troy does, a lot of very athletic receivers, and they're going to spread it around. Of course, Blevins there, and then Etherton we talked about early. Bowe again, back to pass. A flag is thrown. Etherton gets into the flat, gets up to the 44, hit hard by Bauhe, and he's taken down just shy of the 45. But let's see what the flag is. It's our first penalty of tonight's game. Basically thrown right after the snap.
I'm saying it might be like an illegal shift or something like that because they sent that man out motion. Wow.
Well, that was a quick hold.
Yeah, you hold almost immediately, and that's probably the hardest thing to do. But Gannon Bowe just needs 7 more yards to eclipse 1,200 passing yards. I know they were very dynamic last year. I apologize. I can't remember the quarterback's name off the top of my head, but I knew he was like top 5 in the state last year in passing yards. Can't remember his name off the top of my head right now.
That was Reagan Hartman.
Reagan Hartman, yes.
Yep. One of the top passers in the state, and he's playing at Highland Community College.
Yeah, they got a couple guys up at Highland, and Jarrett Norris went on to Benedictine.
Yeah, the Trojans, a really good team last year, got to the regional round. They had to replace a lot, but Bowe, starting for the first time this year, drops back again after the hold, throws it into the flat. This is Hartman. He ain't going to get much. He'll get to the 35, and he is brought down there. Shulions makes the stop, officially mark him at the 34-yard line. So it's a gain of just 3, pitch and catch. Again, to Hartman out of the backfield, and it's going to bring up second down and about 16. Shy of the 35, just over a minute into the game, no score. Still the first drive of the game for Troy. Etherton in motion from right to left, ball left hash. Bowe takes a high snap, looking near side. It is tipped in the air, and it is picked off at the 40. It's intercepted by Jackson Heights, and that's Braden McQueen, the former Wetmore Cardinal. Tipped in the air, and it was probably a ball that should have been caught by Blevins, and our first turnover of the game, Not even 2 minutes in, and a big play for Jackson Heights.
Yeah, and their seventh interception, or sixth interception on the year. Bo just his third, but like you said, tip drill interception never leads to good things, ball up in the air like that. And now you look at Drake Mellies. What's he going to show tonight? He had a big game last time we were here a couple weeks ago against Riverside.
So the first possession for Jackson Heights after the turnover at the Troy 40. Not quite 2 minutes in, no score. Mellies in the shotgun, takes the snap, eludes one tackle, puts it to his hip, takes off running, and he's going to get to nearly the 35. So a good scramble there for one of the top quarterbacks in the Northeast Kansas League. And now you see Mellies got a little bit of a limp after being taken down over there on the far sideline after a gain of five.
I think it was one of those situations where you kind of get tackled high and the guy kind of falls and your legs kind of get bent all up underneath you. And, you know, that kind of hurts for a little bit. And we'll see what he does here. You probably expect a handoff to Holiday or someone else. So you're not putting too much stress on those legs right now.
Jackson Heights and head coach Caleb Wick averaging just over 322 yards per game. And they go to Holiday for the first time, right guard. He'll be shy of the first down. He'll gain four, shy of the 30. It'll bring up third down at about a yard. Well, we were here a couple weeks ago for that game against Riverside, and we saw Mellies and Holiday both go bananas on the ground in that game with massive games per, both well over 100 yards, a game that Jackson Heights won easily. Now, defensively, Troy gives up 31 points per game, and rushing yards per game, they give up over 250. Obviously, the strength of Jackson Heights is running the football. Third down and one, just shy of the Troy 30. Under 10 minutes to go, clock moving, first quarter, no score. Mellies, a rare snap under center. Tried the hard count. And after a fake, they'll have the first down. And that is Josh Smith on the carry, who gets to the 26 for a gain of five when they only needed one.
You know, Jackson Heights last week, they were faced down with not only a third and one, but a fourth and inches on their first possession drive. And they were shut down on both of those plays, and they were doing the tush-push, the Eagles tush-push. They were doing that both plays, and they failed the execution, and you know, it's great to see a third down conversion from this Cobra team early in this play to play.
And they got it once again in Troy territory at the 26-yard line, a fresh set of downs, first and 10. Mellies takes a knee-high snap, play action, rolling to his right, ball is in between the hash marks, throws it across the middle, and it's incomplete. Josh Smith, the intended receiver, and in coverage, the Trojans quarterback, Gannon Bowe. And it'll bring up second down and 10.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Troy gives up 200-plus yards on the ground, but you look at some of the teams they've played, Valley Heights, Centralia. Those are two teams that just love to run the football. And
very good at it.
Yeah, two really talented teams, obviously, in the 1A ranks. So I think those numbers might be a little bit in play just because of the attacks that they face, but you're going to have to be good tonight.
We'll send Holiday in motion, fakes to him on a jet sweep. Mellies up the middle, has a good gain here on first down, and then he's ripped down by Christian Etherton. Shy of the first down, but he's inside the 20 to the red zone. Looks like about an 8-9 yard carry. It'll bring up third down and short. It will be an 8 yard gain. Call it third and two.
At Jackson Heights last week, they ran a lot of that read option with Drake Mellies, and he wasn't able to get really productive despite that 120-yard stat line, most of that getting buffed in the fourth quarter. But a lot of those issues last week came with the blocking up to that second level, and now you're seeing the execution come up a lot smoother early in the game.
Mellies has had four 100-plus-yard rushing games out of the five they've played this season. And they go Holiday, who has a first down and more. It's going to be goal-to-go territory as he gets inside the 10 and pushing towards the 5, and he is still pushing forward. How about the offensive line at Jackson Heights? And I think they stop him at the 5. So a nice gain of 12 yards right up the gut for Cade Holiday. First and goal for the Cobras.
You know, I was talking to offensive coordinator Brett Plattner earlier today, just talking about how big it is not having Titus Eisenbarth as a running back on your team. In fact, he actually told me that the hope is he's going to be back for the Onega game playing defensive snaps. Regardless, Cade Holiday coming in at running back, they've seen some things that they've never seen before, and that's how physically he plays.
Cade Holiday averaging over 8 yards per carry on the season coming in. First and goal at the 5. They go back to Holiday. He's ripped up and maybe back to the line of scrimmage, and that is it. Nicely done defensively. Jack Hartman in on the stop for Troy. He'll get back to the line of scrimmage. No gain. Second and goal from the 5 coming up. Clock moving under 7:45 to go opening quarter after Troy threw an interception on their opening drive. Jackson Heights started this possession at the Troy 40. Right now they have it second and goal at the 5, looking for the first score of the game. Once again, Troy dominated this game last year, winning 32-0, and prior to that, Jackson Heights won 4 straight in the series. Troy 8-4 against the Cobras, going back to 2004. Melly's faking the jet sweep, and Hartman rips him down, but pulls him forward towards the goal line. He'll be shy of it, looks like, to the 1, and it's going to be 3rd and goal from about a yard out.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, Troy's been pretty good so far for the most part on 1st and 2nd down, but they've given up a couple of 3rd down conversions. As they say in the pros, the money downs, and that's what Jackson Heights is winning at right now. They've been better, and that's punched out from about maybe the 2. It looks like the yard and a half, so it's a little bit farther than yard here, but they get 2 cracks at it.
3rd down, and we'll call it goal to go, about a yard and a half out. Now a flag, pre-snap, and this could
be offsides. Someone lined offsides.
So an offsides is going to be the call, so
it's not a lot of yards, though. But
half the distance to the goal, they'll move the ball maybe about a football length, and that'll put it inside the 1. Second penalty against Troy here in the opening quarter. But they will give it to the running back in Josh Smith over the left guard, and he finds the end zone from a yard out. So the Cobras are going to take advantage of the Troy turnover. And at 6:28 to go in this opening quarter, Cobras out to the early 6-0 advantage. For Josh Smith, that is his 3rd rushing touchdown of the year. They use 3 different running backs, one being the quarterback in Melly's. Holiday got 3 carries on that drive, and Smith, that was his 2nd carry on that drive, and it finds the end zone on 3rd and goal. Melly's in the shotgun. They send Chulion's in motion. They fake it to him. Melly's right up the gut, waiting for the call. He is in for the 2-point conversion. So the Cobras maximize that drive in a short field. 40 yards on that opening touchdown drive for the Cobras. 6:28 to go opening quarter. Josh Smith, the touchdown run from 1 yard out. We'll step aside for a timeout. Back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Rebates, rebates, and more rebates. You want an opportunity to get into the game? Well, contact Wilson Tire today at 785-362-8473. Right now, Matt and Terry at Wilson Tire have a rebate for you. Get up to $100 when you buy a set of 4 select Hankook tires from now until November 19th. Or if Bridgestone fits your fancy better, you can get $70 back by mail on a Bridgestone Visa prepaid card with the purchase of 4 eligible tires from now until October 31st. When selection and service matter to you, contact the 2 guys you can trust, Matt and Terry Wilson at Wilson Tire in Holton.
103.9 FM KNZA.
Drive summary brought to you by Wilson Tire. When selection and service matter, choose Matt and Terry Wilson at Wilson Tire in Holton. Find them online at WilsonTireKS.com. Full crew tonight, Brandon, Trenton, Crendon, Kyson, and Colin all with you here on KNZA, also the Cobra Channel. Thanks for everyone hanging with us. That drive summary again, 4 minutes, 11 seconds off the clock, a 40-yard drive, a short field for the Cobras, 3rd touchdown on the season on the ground for Josh Smith. It was 3rd and goal at the 1 when he punched it in. Melly's adding the 2-point conversion to make it 8-0, not quite to the halfway point here in this opening quarter. And Jackson Heights taking that kickoff out of bounds, so Troy will have good possession, or good field position, I should say, on their 2nd drive of the game, see if they can bounce back after the early turnover.
Yeah, but the right guard, Hayden Hegarty, put Titan Eisenbarth on the ground on the sideline. So they threw a 2nd flag. So I wonder if they're going to call that unnecessary roughness and how that works out, because the referee, the umpire, threw a flag for the kickoff out of bounds, and Hegarty put Eisenbarth to the ground, and another flag was thrown. So I've never seen something like this. I don't know if it's a re-kick or moving it to the 40 and maybe 15 yards back. So maybe from the 25 or so.
So there's 2 penalties waiting for the white cap. So, again, it's unsportsmanlike conduct is the call. Well, Troy, that's already their 3rd penalty here in the first 5.5 minutes that has racked up 26 yards in that category.
So, yeah, now they get at the 26. They started from the 24 last time, and instead of starting at the 41, and the chain gang's a little confused. I mean, I don't think you see that very often on a kickoff out of bounds that there's an unsportsmanlike penalty.
Well, that's a big penalty for Troy. Again, it backs him up 15 more yards, and if that wouldn't have happened, they would have had much better field position because Jackson Heights had the kickoff out of bounds. The officials still discussing on the far sideline. 6:28 to go, still in the first quarter. 8-0 Jackson Heights. Trojans threw an interception on their opening drive of the game. That was just the third time that Gannon Bowe has thrown an INT this season. And Cobra is able to take advantage, a 40-yard touchdown drive that took over 4 minutes off the clock. And Josh Smith, first touchdown here on the night. 8-0 Cobras. And here we go, first and 10 Troy at the 26. They go left to right here in the opening frame. Atherton in motion, they fake it to him. Bowe keeps it, makes a man miss, hit by Balhay. And then gang tackled, a couple more jerseys reaching in there. Not much, minimal yardage of a yard or two at best. And waiting on the spot, they will give Bowe about 2 yards, and it'll bring up second down and long.
Yeah, we were able to see Cornelson, Michael Cornelson, and Anthony Galata come in for that gang tackle afterwards.
And back it up a touch, so we'll call it a gain of a yard there for Bowe. Second down and 9 at the 27. Past the halfway mark of the opening quarter, Cobras with the 8-0 lead. Bowe back to pass, looks left, fakes, puts it to the hip, steps in the pocket, throws, caught. This is Seth Judd who makes a man miss. Working outside the numbers, has a first down and more to the 40, and he's finally tackled at the 45-yard line for a gain of 18 yards. They call it yak, yards after catch, and Seth Judd doing a nice job there for a first down.
Yeah, and he got a good block from his buddy Christian Etherington coming back. Not a legal blindside block, but he threw a well enough block to spring him for some more yards, and that officially puts Gambo over 1,200 passing yards, which is pretty impressive at the 1A feet, but they like to sling it.
Seth Judd, the 5'8 senior, his 16th catch of the season, that one for 18 and a first down.
Now they're going to get offside, so.
Movement up front by Jackson Heights, so a free 5 yards here. It looked to be J.W. Moore.
Now someone up there in the middle, yeah.
That is the first Jackson Heights penalty of the game. It'll bring up first down and 5 at midfield. 8-0 Cobras, 5:15 clock moving first quarter. They put Hartman outside, splits him left. They throw it near side. They set it up for Blevins, waiting for his blocks. Gets outside the numbers, 45. There's a flag. This one's going to be coming back for a hold.
Yeah, Etherington or Judd. They run that quad set. They like to throw a screen, get blocks. And Judd or Etherington's going to get called for it. So it's going to be about first and 10 with a spot foul.
As you mentioned, Christian Etherton out here and also Seth Judd trying to block for Blevins on the screen, but it looked like Etherton was not able to get away with one there, had a hand tucked up underneath the jersey, and that's what would have been a first down into Jackson Heights territory. Is now the fourth penalty here in the quarter on Troy, so that has certainly not helped them here in this opening few minutes of the game.
Yeah, so they signaled 11 to the sideline, so they flagged Etherington, who just threw a good block, so it's first and 11. So
it's a spot foul. First down and 11, back to the 44.
It's like you almost wipe out that offside, and they kind of offset.
Well, the one incompletion that Gannon Bowe has thrown was the INT. Outside of that, he's 3 for 3 for 32 yards. Hartman, the lone running back, 4 wide receivers set. They bring Judd in motion here to the near side. It's now trips right. Ball right side hash. Quick toss. Hartman gets that yardage back into Jackson Heights territory, gang tackled near the first down mark. Might be a yard shy. That's a gain of 10 yards on a pitch right to Jack Hartman.
Yeah, there was a nice block onto the Jackson Heights linebacker by Seth Judd, who's laid his shoulder right into the outside linebacker.
So it's going to bring up second down and 1. Ball at the Cobras' 46-yard line, near side hash. Under 5 minutes to go, clock moving in this opening frame. The Cobras have an 8-0 advantage on a touchdown run by Josh Smith. Shotgun set. Both teams like to run out of the shotgun. Bowe standing at midfield, near side hash. He's got Hartman sidecar left. They fake to him. They look screen, and that's thrown behind, and that should be a fumble. And it was a fumble, but the ball skips out of bounds all the way back to the 45. Now, us up here, we had the perfect angle, and that ball was clearly thrown behind the receiver in Etherton, so that should be a fumble. But I wasn't sure if that's what the officials called.
I think they were blowing the whistle way, way too early.
Yeah, it looks to me like they called that an incompletion. So,
wow.
The far side official
that's
seen it as
correct call.
As a, like, a not just where it's even enough, and almost kind of jumped in. And third and one, I don't know why you just don't run the football here. Less than one, really.
Well, Troy, they definitely caught a break, and now it's just third and one. They give it to the big body and Hartman, who spins for a first down just shy of the Cobra's 40. So the Trojans catch a break there. They get it to the 41, and that's a gain of five for Hartman.
And you got a bigger body than Hartman as your running back. He's kind of like what you'd see as a Derrick Henry, where he's a bigger back, where he's not a lot of speed, but
6'3", 204. That's a big body for sure.
Yeah, and on second and one, you just got to hand the ball off to him like they did there on third and one. I mean, you just need less than a yard. You can't be slinging it sideways and probably throw a backwards pass, but the officials didn't see it that way.
The leading rusher coming in, Jack Hartman again, over 200 yards, but Bo now back to pass, running for his life, throws it across the middle, caught by Etherton at the 35, and then spun down by Shulions for a gain of 6 yards. Nice play by Bo to elude some tackles in the backfield, and a pitch and catch of 6 yards.
Yeah, Christian Etherton brings a lot to this Troy Trojans offense. He's the senior, 5'10", 160 pounds. You know, he's leading receptioner with 552 yards receiving and 5 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, averaging 16.3 yards per catch coming in, over 110 receiving yards per game. He's putting up monster numbers.
And if,
he keeps that pace well over 1,000.
Yeah, and if you look at last year, he was the third option behind Norris and Bennett, and he still put up good numbers. So he's kind of the forgotten guy on the last year's team. So kind of the guy this year.
On second down, incomplete. The nearest defender was Josh Smith, who he was maybe one more step to his right. Could have had an interception, but it's going to bring up third and four after the incomplete pass.
The awareness right now from these Jackson Heights DBs just to be able to react to the ball as the game, you know, progresses naturally is very impressive, as that almost led to a second interception for Gannon Bow.
2:55 to go. Clock stop. First quarter. Cobras 8. Trojans nothing. Second drive of the game for Troy. They have it third down and about 4 to go. Just inside the 35, and they go Etherton on a reverse, and he is gobbled up in the backfield, and he goes nowhere. Shulion's in on the stop. It looks like Smith was in there as well. Two very athletic players on the defensive side, and that's going to be a loss of about 3 yards, and now decision time for the Trojans, which you expect they probably go for it, and it's now fourth down and 7.
Yeah, I think Jackson Heights got a little bit lucky there. It looked like someone had their hand up around the face mask of Etherington, but
Yeah, fourth down and 7 again. That was the second time we had seen kind of the end around to Etherton, and that time it lost 3 yards, and now a timeout called by Troy at 2:22 to go in this first quarter. Biggest play so far for the Trojans, facing fourth down and 7 at the Cobras 38. Timeouts are brought to you by Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting. When it's time for a break and you're looking for the perfect snack, the concession stand, or in your own living room, try Schlegel's. Many flavors of homegrown popcorn. It is the perfect timeout snack. We'll keep it right here. Brandon Tabman, Trenton Kraxner, Crendon, and Kyson Profit with the Cobra Channel. Colin Belkamp, our studio producer. Week 6 of high school football. Beautiful scenery here. It's a gorgeous night. Cool fall temperatures. It certainly feels like fall right now. As you take a look at how this game is broken down to this point, Troy had the opening possession through an interception. The former Wetmore Cardinal, Braden McQueen, getting the interception. His first of the season, and Jackson Heights took advantage of a short field, a 4-minute, 11-second drive that took up 40 yards. Josh Smith on third and goal from the 1, punched it in, and then Mellies for 2 made it 8-0. Troy started this drive at their own 26, and taking up about 4 minutes off the clock here. Now late first quarter, but now they face Trenton here out of the timeout, fourth and about 7, maybe even 8 yards inside the Jackson Heights 40.
Yeah, and as a team that likes to pass the ball, you know, this isn't nothing out of the normal for them. You know, they're probably going to run 4 to 5 guys in a route tree here. They line up trips over here and a guy on the far side. But, yeah, someone's got to run to the route to the 6 or beyond here and make a play.
Well, they send Judd in motion to the left side. So a 2-by-2 set after that motion. Bo back to pass, near side, deep route. Receiver falls, incomplete. And that's going to be a turnover on downs.
It was the J.W. Moore who was able to, you know, get a lot of pressure in Bo's face just then, getting past that left tackle and just overall just forcing that incompletion down deep down the field.
So a turnover on downs is followed by the interception. So 2 drives and 2 turnovers for Troy, and they had some momentum going there. They had moved the ball into Jackson Heights territory, but the Cobras get a big stop, an 8-0 lead for Jackson Heights. They'll take over first down and 10 at their own 38.
And Etherton wanted to flag there. He kind of tripped up over the feet of McQueen, who was on coverage, and it's a good no call.
Yeah, ball was certainly not catchable in any way, shape, or form. So here's Melis, who takes the first snap here. They go to Holiday, left side, not much to the 40, gain of 2. Second down and 8 coming up here late in the first quarter with Jackson Heights leading 8-0. Fourth carry here in the quarter for Cade Holiday. So second down and 8. Jackson Heights moving the ball from right to left here in the opening frame. Ball at their own 40, between the 40 and the 41, between the hash marks. A rare under-center snap here for Mellies. He'll take it. And they give it to Josh Smith, who scored the touchdown on that last drive. He'll get, looks like, forward progress up to the 44 for a gain of 4, and it'll bring up third down and about 4.
I like Josh Smith getting into this running game a little bit. He doesn't get too many rushing reps on this team. He's only had 11 carries the whole year, but you'd like to see him come in as another back to help complement Cade Holiday in the backfield.
Yeah, just 11 carries coming in. He's already got 3 here in the opening quarter, scoring his third touchdown of the year. Third down and 4, shy of the 45, coming up on the final minute of the opening quarter. Melly's play fakes. It goes to Holiday. He falls, tripped up. He might be a yard short, depending on the spot, but it looks like he will be maybe a half yard shy, so it's going to bring a fourth down and less than a yard.
The whiteout was signaling for a first down. They didn't even measure. I think Troy's a little bit beside themselves.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It looked short. At least should have garnered a measurement, but.
Well, they will give the Cobras the benefit there. It looks short from our end, but it's a first down run there for Holiday. Needed 4, and they got 4. So just shy of midfield. First down and 10 for the Cobras. 30 seconds to go in the frame. They go back to Smith. They're using him quite a bit here, and he's got a nice run and a first down into Troy territory on first and 10. He gets up near the 40 for a gain of about 11, maybe even 12 yards.
Yeah, and we talked about Melly's having that limp, and he came up a little with another limp after that two-point conversion. I wonder if that is – benefiting Josh Smith or trying to take some of the workload off of him and use some other guys because Melly's a little banged up right now.
Could be the final play of the first period. 10 seconds to go. Clock moving. Another simple dive play here for the Cobras. It is McQueen for about 2, maybe 3. And they'll give McQueen 4 3 yards in his first carry on the night. So that's going to end the first 12 minutes of play here from Jackson Heights. Cobras on the move with an 8-0 lead in this 1A district matchup against the Troy Trojans. We'll step aside for a timeout. Second quarter coming your way next right here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
At Union State Bank, we are rooted in tradition, but always looking forward. That means that while we are always focused on delivering the latest advancements to our customers, we are grateful for the local customers that have been the foundation of our business. Each of our 8 branches has its own community history while enjoying the advances we can make as one community bank. At Union State Bank, we celebrate the legacy of the past and the opportunities of the future. Thank you for your business. Union State Bank, NMLS 654946, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Finishing your degree around a busy schedule? Last class not offered on your campus? Simply prefer working from home? Highland Community College allows you flexibility to complete one class. Take transferable general education courses or earn a degree program with Highland Community College online. Plus, HCC has very affordable rates and a wide variety of class options to choose from. Find out more at highlandcc.edu, the local preferred choice for education, Highland Community College.
Kansaland Radio.
Starting the second quarter, Jackson Heights 8, Troy nothing here on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Second down, we switch sides of the field. Cobras with that 8-point advantage. Giving it off to the running back here in Troy territory, shy of the 35. Didn't see the ball carrier there. Was that Holiday? I believe it was. But it's going to bring up third down and 5, just shy of the Troy 35. First play there of the second quarter. So again, 8-0, a 1-yard touchdown run by Josh Smith on Jackson Heights' first possession of the game. Third down and 5 in Troy territory, just getting going here second quarter. Play fake, Josh Smith outside the tackles, first down and more, gets inside the 30 and to the 26 for a gain of 10.
Yeah, Jackson Heights is doing a great job executing third down conversions. I know they've struggled with it, it's a game-to-game kind of thing. You know, they've come in some games doing really good in this third and fourth down. Some games, you know, flip the script. But this game so far, I believe they're 4-4, 3-3. So far off to a good start.
Converting on those third downs. And Trenton mentioned a little while ago about we had seen Mellies, you know, come up hobbling after a couple of plays in the first quarter. And now they're really utilizing Josh Smith, who had 11 carries overall coming in and now has five. And now Bauhey is going to jump off sides, or I should say jump a little early. It's going to be a false start against Jackson Heights. So it'll bring up first down and 15 after the penalty. That's the second penalty against the Cobras.
Yeah, Jackson Heights isn't running too many different plays. They're running about the same three or four plays, but it's working. And Troy hasn't been able to stop it yet. So they're running this little new bunch-like formation in the backfield.
So first and 15. Trying to get the penalty yards back. They'll give it back to Josh Smith. And it looks like he gets the 5 yards back to the 26. So essentially gets him back, and it's going to bring up second down and 10.
Yeah, they're faking that handoff to McQueen on the dive, and it's kind of like a lead through the guard and tackle instead of between the guard and center to Smith. And it's been pretty effective so far. You know, Smith is racking up the yards and might be a pass play here.
They do a 2-by-2 set, two wide left, two wide right. Ball closer to the left side hash. They send a man in motion. It looks like Shulion's, and they give it to him on the reverse here near side. Makes a man miss, gets to the 20. Another man missing inside the 15, and Shulion's with a big play inside the 15 to the 13 for a gain of 13 and a first down.
And
so they brought Julian's on the end round, and they handed it to him and had some good quickness there to the 13 for a gain of 13 and now near goal-to-go territory.
And Seth Jones going to have to come off for a play because he lost his lid. But Gannon Bowe just ran off the field too, so maybe they'll run him back out there.
Well, Troy early on, of course, they lost a ton of talent, as we talked about earlier in the pregame, and they had to replace roughly seven or eight new starters on both sides of the ball. And they lost a couple of guys early to injuries. Here's Holiday. Gets inside the 10. Shimmies to the 5. And he's bumped into the end zone. And a 13-yard run just like that by Cade Holiday makes it 14-0 Jackson Heights at 9:52 to go in the first half.
That snake slithered right there. Great two tackles. Throwing the man, you know, hand on the shoulder. A little juke move. Great job by Kate Holiday.
Two drives and two touchdowns for Jackson Heights, and how crucial it is for them to get off to a fast start after taking their first loss of the season last week against second-ranked Centralia. Now they'll try to go for two after that touchdown run by Kate Holiday, his third rushing touchdown of the season. It'll be Mellies in the gun. Right side to him is Holiday. Another 2-by-2 set. Play action. Mellies rolling to his right. Shimmies away from one. Gets by Hartman. Still looking, and he won't get there. Good pursuit that time by Troy. And it's going to be a no-good try on that conversion. But nonetheless, another touchdown for Jackson Heights. And it looked like there was a penalty flag, so just give it a second here.
And
it was against Jackson Heights, so the penalty is declined. 9:52 to go in the first half. 14-0 Cobras. Troy on their heels a little bit here in the first half. We'll step aside for a timeout. Back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
After I drop the kids off, I have to run across town for a meeting, hit the gym during lunch. Jake has soccer tonight, and Emily has gymnastics? Oh, did I turn on the crock pot this morning?
With a never-ending to-do list, it's easy to forget something important, like setting up a life insurance plan with Shelter Insurance. Your local shelter agent can show you how to create a safety net for your family. Shelter Life Insurance Company, Columbia, Missouri.
Call your local shelter agents, Tom Fate in Holton or Dan Lears in Hiawatha.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
Early second quarter, Jackson Heights, two drives, two touchdown runs, one by Josh Smith, most recently here by Cade Holiday. 13-yard scamper bumped into the end zone. Melly's two-point attempt no good, but a 14-0 lead here for the Cobras at 9:52 to go in this first half. It is in all Jackson Heights again. Troy, two turnovers, an interception and a turnover on downs. The Cobras have taken advantage of both, and now here's a really short kick that bounces at the 40, and fortunate for the Trojans to get on top of that quickly. That's Colt Jensen, a freshman on the kickoff team. But Troy gets good field position. They were able to move it a little bit, Trenton, on their last drive. But again, a big penalty turned a 4th-and-3 into about a 4th-and-8 and just unable to convert there. And obviously Jackson Heights, they've taken advantage here early.
Yeah, you don't want to get in your own way. I mean, you know, you're starting to pick up some momentum and the flow is getting there, and then you hold and then you're behind the chains and it throws off that flow. And, you know, you have to get a score here because your defense has been paper thin so far.
Here's a throw by Bo across the field, far side, making a man miss is Blevins. He's up to the 45. Let's see where they mark him out of bounds near midfield. They'll get him to the 47 for a gain of 8 yards. So a pitch and catch to Blevins. It'll bring up second down and short.
Yeah, I think that's important because Troy's not taking shots down the field. They're throwing a lot of short passes, so they're trying to let their guys go one-on-one for a tackle like there and make a person miss. So as long as Jackson Knights can rally to the football or make an initial tackle, they're going to be just fine.
Second down and 2, shy of midfield. Ball's on the turf. Hartman dropped it.
J.W. Moore got on it, I believe. Yes, he did.
And that is a third turnover by Troy. The miss exchange on the handoff. And as you mentioned, J.W. Moore, that's another turnover and disastrous first half so far here for the Trojans. Jackson Heights, a 14-0 lead. They get it right back in Troy territory.
J.W. Moore last week also jumped on a botched snap ball, which, you know, wind up being a turnover. Jackson Heights was able to get it. They weren't able to do much with that drive. However, looks like it could be a different story here against the Trojans.
Jackson Heights, 1st-and-10 at the Troy 43. Still early in the second quarter. 9:37 to go, 14-0 Cobras. And they go right back to Holiday. Nice gain on first down, but a flag is thrown near the vicinity of holding, so we'll see.
Usually when the umpire calls it on a run play, it's probably holding right there in the middle of the field.
And it looks like, kind of by the reaction, it might be Max Watkins, the left tackle, who they were looking at and talking to. So it is a hold on Watkins. So negate about a 7-yard run, and it'll bring up 1st down and 20. Third penalty against the Cobras in the first half. So it backs them all the way up to their own territory. 1st down and 20 at the Jackson Heights 47. 9.5 minutes to go here in the first half. A 14-0 lead for the Cobras. Touchdown runs by Josh Smith and Cade Holiday on their first two drives. Low snap. Mellies picks it off the turf. They go right back to Holiday, who gets the yardage back and more to the 40, all the way up to the Troy 35 and to the 34. It's a gain of 19. A patient run there for Cade Holiday, the largest run of the game.
I was just about to add that, how patient he runs. I mean, it's not necessarily fast, but it's just quick enough, and he follows those blockers down the field. Brady McQueen, who was able to throw a block deep on the safety.
How good the offensive line has been for Jackson Heights this season. Maybe a little bit undersized than what they had been in years past, but they move quick, and they get off the ball quick. So after a gain of 19, 2nd down and 1 now at the Troy 34-yard line. Mellies gets everyone set, 2 by 2. They run option right, stutters. They do get a late pitch to Holiday. 1st down and more inside the 30. Drop down at the 25. And a 1st down run. A gain of 9 on the option right. And another fresh set. Cobras moving, and they look good here in the first half.
Yeah, and Jack Hartman played that well as a defensive end. He slow played it, and then he eventually made the tackle. The only problem with him making that tackle was 9 yards downfield because he had no one else to help him out there. But, you know, Melly still hasn't ran since that two-point conversion. If I was Hartman there, knowing that he's a little bit gimpy, I would have made him run the football there and
kind of put him to the test there.
Yeah, see if he's really going to run it, because he's just been handing the ball off, and it's been effective, though. So
yeah, they do go right back to Holiday. Little dive play over the left guard. He's swallowed up immediately. Might have got a half yard at best. They do give him forward progress to the 24, so it's a gain of 1, 2nd down and 9. Holiday, the leading rusher here in the first half. He's got 67 yards in that touchdown. This is crunch time here for Troy. They won the toss and decided to receive. Jackson Heights will get the ball to start the second half. Jackson Heights on the move. They go to McQueen. This one a simple dive over the right guard, and he'll get to the 20 for a gain of 4. It'll bring up 3rd and 5.
Yeah, and he's just now getting up. And I believe that was Blake Robinson, the linebacker. And that's similar to what we saw happen to Mellies on that two-point conversion. You get chopped down low, nothing dirty or anything, but on a colder night like this where your body's not used to this temperature yet, you know, shots to the shin can hurt.
Blake Robinson, the 5'11 senior linebacker, the Trojans' leading tackler, 43 total tackles coming in. It's going to bring up third down and four inside the red zone at the 19. 7:10 clock moving second quarter, 14-0 Jackson Heights. Mellies with a hard count, and they might have got the five-yard penalty. And that's...
Should be a first down.
And that's going to be an encroachment penalty. So on third and four, they get the jump off sides, and it'll be a first down for Jackson Heights. Nicely played there. Now, Troy, that's their fifth penalty here in the first half.
I believe they're able to get Wyatt Whistler be able to run the jump off sides.
So first down and 10 at the 14-yard line of Troy. Another simple dive play here. Not much. That was a new ball carrier. That was Brody Browning, a freshman who gets his first carry.
Actually, Coach Pliner talked about me earlier today just about Brody Browning basically getting into the system. His brother Alex Browning last year was a senior. You know, he was a really good running back. You know, that's the hope for Brody, is they can be a real physical running back to carry on his older brother.
Well, we saw it a couple weeks ago. They use a lot of bodies, especially when they're up big. A chance here. They go back to Holiday, the main man. He goes left and upended inside the 10 and near a first down. Looks like maybe a yard short. He gets 7 inside the 10 to about the 6. It's going to bring up third down and short. But, again, Holiday has had really good vision here in the first half. Seems to be pretty darn patient. He's using his blockers pretty well.
And that's been the key, like you said, just letting those blocks develop and letting his guys get up to the second level. And they spread it out. I'm guessing this might be a jet sweep if they send Julian in motion.
Well, they go Holiday in motion here, and you are right on the call. Actually, they fake it. It's going to be Mellies. He gets to the outside, gets to the pylon, and a huge block by Josh Smith secures that touchdown on the near side. Goodness me, Josh Smith laying Seth Judd out at the 3-yard line, and he is slow to get up. Late flag's going to come in. Right now, 20-0.
Troy's coaches are halfway onto the field, so this probably is a sideline warning. And, you know, in today's game, you have to lead with your hands to make it a legal crabback block, and he shouldered him. That should have been, by the rules that we play by today, that's an illegal crackback block. Because you led with the shoulder. You're supposed to lead with your hands
right. And
extend. That was shoulder pad to the face area, which, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that's a fantastic block. No one thinks anything about it, but that was right in front of the official on the sideline, too.
Well, Derek Jasper, the head coach for Troy, he has walked all the way to the complete side of the field where the play occurred. Of course, Troy's sideline is on the far side of the field, and Derek Jasper, he is not pleased as he has walked all the way across the field. Judd getting some help, and just hope he's okay. But, yeah, Josh Smith really put one into him. That secured a touchdown. Again, there is a flag down, but it was thrown really late. It was way after the play was complete.
I think it's on the Troy coach because all three of them were like they're running in to substitute for this two-point conversion. And I think it's a sideline. I think you get a sideline warning, so I don't think they're going to be penalized. But I think Coach Jasper wants an explanation more than anything of, like, how is that not a crackback block? It was right in front of you because he didn't lead with his hands.
We had a great view of it. You called the rule out, and they do call on sportsmanlike conduct against Troy. Again, surely on the coaching staff, and not just Coach Jasper. There were multiple other coaches for Troy who came all the way across the field, and what could have been an illegal block is not called, and it's a touchdown run for Drake Mellies, his team-leading 13th rushing touchdown of the year, and Cobra's in complete control with a 20-0 lead at 5:33 to go in the first half. They go for two. They give it to Smith, and he has stood up right near the goal line, and he does cross the plane and is in for two, and another flag is thrown, and now I think tempers are flaring a little bit between both of these teams. Troy has had their...
Yep.
Barking with the officials, and now another late flag is in.
Yeah, it's going to be 15 yards on Troy, and there's another flag.
And someone just got tossed.
I wonder if it's a coach or a player that said something too much.
Yeah, someone just got tossed. The far side official just threw another flag. and was pointing towards either a player or a coach, but someone for Troy just got ejected.
And if you haven't tuned in, there was a crackback block that should have been called in. Completely changed the game because it takes those, well, 8 points off the board now, and it's third and 15 or what, it's a 15 or a pin, it's like third and 17, and you know, and then your guy gets laid out, and now who knows what, if he's even going to be back in. You're trying to stand up for your guy, and especially at the high school level, you know, that's someone that you're probably really close to, and you're probably pretty peeved. So the next 30 minutes of game time is probably going to be pretty chippy from the Troy side because their player just got laid out and they didn't even get a penalty for it.
Well, again, we don't know, but either a player or a coach was ejected for Troy.
Yeah, because they're running to their sideline, so it could have been any player.
Well, certainly after that touchdown and, of course, with the coaching staff coming onto the field, and you could certainly see quite a few players kind of barking at the officials as well. So I don't know. We'll kind of see how it plays out. But whether it's a coach or a player, they're not leaving the field. I mean, they just can't play. Or, again, not sure if it's a coach. Can you eject a coach? Where does the coach go if you eject a coach? I don't know. Just can't have your headset on, I guess.
I don't know if they have to leave the sideline. I don't know if that's the same thing with a player. And Coach Wick's out there taking the white hat right now, and I think that's about the penalty enforcement. And they're going to be kicking off from their own 30-yard, the Troy 30-yard line. So
my goodness.
They could onside it, and if Troy recovers it, they'd have the ball on their own 20-yard line because of the 30 yards of penalty from the two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. And Logan Blevins is taking his stuff off on the sideline, and Seth Judd's a fellow linebacker with him. So I'm wondering,
well, if you're seeing
he's
him
the
take,
one.
Yeah.
He's that. Throwing a couple stuff, like some sleeves, and, you know, maybe he's just so hot that the cold temperature doesn't bother him.
Well, they don't want to lose Logan Blevins. He is very much a key piece on both sides of the ball, and I think still,
I think it's a coach. I think it's one of the assistants because he's still yelling at the officials. Now
yeah.
He's leaving, so it's
looks to be
one of the coordinators.
Coach.
Yeah, it's one of the coordinators. I'm going to say, you know, I might go down to the field and ask for some clarification.
Well, yeah,
time.
You can see a coach. He's putting on his backpack and he's taking off. It's not Coach Jasper. It's one of the assistant coaches, and now Cobras are kicking off from way up, and it's just booted out of the back of the end zone.
And they might have ran off sides. They did. And why run off sides? If you know the guy's going to boot it through the end zone, if you know he's going to kick it through the end zone, you know, you don't really need to get a sprint across the line.
Well, that's the third, well, at least right now, three unsportsmanlike conduct penalties against Troy here in the first half. Their seventh penalty for 71 yards.
And you know, with
you just got to try to cool off and kind of start over. You're down 22-0, just under 6 minutes to go in the first half. You've had the ball three times. You've turned it over three times. Cobras have scored touchdowns on all three of their drives, so it's been the exact worst-case scenario for Troy, but there's still a lot of time in this game.
Yeah, and memory serves right. You know, I did a game, Troy and Valley Heights. I believe that was their defensive coordinator, and he just walked out the gate. He's out by the car, so I don't see a bus parked anywhere, but you know, he's trying to stand up for one of his guys that got laid out on what should have been a penalty by the rules. And, yeah, so the defense has had three defensive possessions. They've given up points on everyone. Now he's gone, so.
Well, they have to re-kick because of the offsides, and this one's actually going to be returnable for Troy. Good return here to the near side. Multiple flags once again.
Yeah, but Seth Judd held. And how is that a hold? But, I mean, he threw the guy down. I mean, you can't do that. Like, I saw that as he was running up the field. They're going to argue, well, that just happened to our guy kind of thing. But no, that's a hold.
No, he took the snake by the tail and pulling him around. I'm not sure who that was on the Cobras, but he was spinning, and he knew as soon as he got up, he was clapping his hands going, yep.
Yep, there's the call. Eight penalties, 81 yards. Here in the first half for Troy, multiple holds now to go along with three different unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. So after what was a decent return on a short kick, Troy's going to have first and 10 at their own 11.
Yeah, and if you're Troy, yeah, you're out a wide receiver and a linebacker. And Seth Judd's on the field.
Yeah, Judd's okay, which is good to see because he was the one that got hit on that play.
But you still got to try and win the football game. It can't turn into a cheap shot thing where you're trying to get your get back. You got to still try and win because there's still plenty of time for you to be able to win this game. Bo's going to make a nice play.
Yeah, nearly got sacked, and Bo scrambles up near the 20. They'll get him to the 19.
But there's a flag in the end zone, so we might have a safety.
Another penalty personal foul.
It's going to be on Robinson, and I didn't see it.
Well, they don't even – all it said was personal foul, and they point at Blake Robinson, the left guard.
You know
– yeah, I think the frustrations you can clearly see for Troy that – since that play or that missed crackback block.
And I'm wondering if, you know, I'll try and keep a better eye out for it, but I wonder if the refs are noticing that Troy's upset and anything that could be deemed extra, they're flagging it to try and stop it from completely spiraling out of control. But
well, they take that back to the 10, first and 11. That's the fourth personal foul penalty here in the first half, ninth penalty overall. They run a screen here to the near side, but it's going to be underthrown and incomplete to Seth Judd. This has just been kind of a interesting game, to say the least.
Yeah.
Everything going great for Jackson Heights, everything going not so great for Troy.
In real time, it's been a very interesting last 10 minutes, but in game time, the last 2 minutes have been really interesting of what's happened on the field. Coach got ejected, you know, and Troy's getting flagged after flagged. They probably have 11 penalties after all those unsportsmanlikes.
They got 9 penalties for nearly 100 yards here in the first half. As Bo takes the snap here on 2nd and 11, they try to set up a screen. This is Blevins, and he's got a nice run after the catch. He'll get across the 20, bringing it to the near side. They'll get him to the 23, and it's a gain of 13 and a first down. Much needed right there for Troy to move the sticks.
Yeah, and you got to try and get down the field and score a touchdown. It'll put you at 22-6, 22-8 before the half, and hopefully stop Jackson Heights to get the ball out of half and kind of go to the locker room and regroup, get everything back under control. That's your best-case scenario here. You got to start building up some positives because there's been plenty of negatives.
Trojans from right to left, late first half, 4:33, clock moving. First and 10 at the 23, Bo to the near side, incomplete. And it was through the hands of Alex Deshaun, his first target of the game. And it brings up 2nd down and 10 at the 23, stops the clock at 4:29.
You can see a lot of pressure from Anthony Galata and J.W. Moore. They're constantly getting the backfield, especially in this drive specifically. I've been seeing them get back there, swat a few balls there, try to at least get in that quarterback's face. Those left guard and left tackle are struggling against those two players.
Yeah, J.W. Moore, 4 sacks, leads the team coming in. Been a menace all year. Here's Bo on 2nd and 10, has some time. Pump fakes, now steps into the pocket, and he's dropped. Trying to see if he even got back to the line of scrimmage. It doesn't look like it. That's going to be a sack. And it looks like Galata, as you just mentioned, it looks like he got the last touch on him. So that's going to go down for a sack for him, and it's going to bring up 3rd and 13 after a loss of 3.
Yeah, it looked like you wanted to load up to finally launch a deep ball. They've thrown a lot of short and intermediate routes, but you know, it didn't feel comfortable with the pocket collapsing. Now you're facing 3rd and long again, and you know, Jackson Heights still has all their timeouts to where they can get the ball back, and they've just gone down the field every single time with no resistance. So, interesting play call here on 3rd and 13.
3:45, clock moving, 2nd quarter. 3rd and 13 for the Trojans. Bo getting outside the pocket, throwing on the run, and if that's caught, they say no, Etherton incomplete. They say he was out of bounds. It was a good pitch and catch, but the official near side said no go, and it's 4th and 13.
There was a really good block by Seth Judd. I believe on the Weston Chaleons, he shot up, and running back was able to gather that block, allowing Bo to get out of the pocket and make that pass, but obviously incompleted 4th down 13.
Well, it's been a struggle for the Trojans, down 22-0 here. Late in the first half, 3:36 to go. Now they got a setup to punt it away. So they're 4th drive, they've got a fumble, an interception, a turnover on downs, and now they punt it away, which is actually a really good punt.
Yeah, this is by far going to be the worst field position for...
Down at the 33.
Yeah, because you've thrown an interception, you've turned it over on downs around midfield, and then you've lost a fumble. So Jackson Heights has started in your territory or very close to it with all the turnovers, but you finally punt the football away. And can Jackson Heights go about 70 yards in 3.5 minutes?
Well, that drive only took 2 minutes off the clock. Troy was able to get one first down on that drive, but they were backed up. Again, penalties have certainly not been the only issue for the Trojans. And that was their first drive for Troy that didn't result in a turnover. Yet it was a punt. First and 10 for the Cobras. 3:26 to go until halftime, dominating the game 22-0. Here's an end around, 35, shy of the 40. And that's Titan Eisenbarth who gets the carry on the end around.
There were some great blocks up the field by Cade Holiday and I believe Josh Smith. Last week I was talking to Coach Plattner again that these slot receivers need to be getting their blocking assignments down when they move up to that second level, taking out safeties, taking out backers. And they're executing that very well tonight compared to last week's game versus Centralia.
First carry for Titan Eisenbarth. He gains 8 yards to the 41. It is second down and 2. Melly's back to pass. He's going to take a deep shot. And Josh Smith, the intended receiver, is incomplete.
Yeah, and something that I've noticed just after that last point, I noticed it on the punt that Colt Jensen and head coach Caleb Wick are kind of jawing at each other. Jensen's going to run off the field, but there was some jawing going on after that punt where they were going down, and then after that run play, those two were doing some talking, and there was also apparently offensive holding somewhere, but the freshman not scared of longtime head coach Caleb Wick. War of words between the two.
Now, there's been a war of words between, really, it looks like both sides, players and coaches, the entire first half. But there was a holding penalty against Jackson Heights on that incomplete pass. That was just the second pass attempt of the half for Drake Mellies. Second down and 12, ball back to the 31 after the penalty. He'll take a knee-high snap, play action, spins it in his hand, has a little bit of time, now has to run. Rolling near side, now has to run, and he's not going to get anywhere as Hartman is going to come up with the quarterback sack, and that's another mistake with a young quarterback, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago when they played Riverside. He had a chance to maybe just throw that ball away, and still held on too long, and Hartman will get credit for the sack, and it's a big loss of 10 yards. It's going to bring up third and 22 back to the 21.
And he tackled him out of bounds, so the clock stopped for Troy. They have 2 timeouts left, and you know, if they can get a stop here and get off the field, they'll have one more crack at to score for the half.
That was a loss of 10. Now 3.5 sacks on the season for Jack Hartman. That leads the Trojans. Under 3 minutes to go until halftime. Now they're just going to run it here on third and long. They'll give it to Holiday. There's Hartman again on the stop. He'll cross the 25. He is spun down to the 27 for a gain of 6, but it's going to bring up fourth and long.
And that's just, I think, all right, we're going to punt, but we're going to run some clock kind of play from Jackson Heights, see if maybe it can break. And Judd and Atherington, two guys that can move with the ball in their hands, back to field this one.
Trojans still have 2 timeouts. Clock's moving. It's under 2.5. This was the fourth possession of the half offensively for the Cobras, and the first one that doesn't end in a touchdown. And here's a pretty low line drive kick, and it takes a Cobras bounce. And it settles at the Troy 40 and down by Max Watkins. So 2:09 for the Trojans, down 22-0 here late first half. They'll have it first and 10 at their own 40. 2 timeouts as well to work with. If they can get any kind of momentum, any kind of points would suffice. It has not been a good first half so far for Troy. They've had a coach ejected. They've got 9 penalties for nearly 100 yards. 4 of those penalties have been unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. 2 turnovers, or I should say 3 turnovers and a punt on what now is their 5th drive of the game. Gannon Bowe, back to pass. Another flag is thrown, and he is going to be dropped in the backfield for a sack.
Now, I'm wondering if there was a legal chop block, because there was a lineman on the ground.
And what is right now a sack for a loss of 5, and it looks like Watkins was in there on the sack.
Yeah, they're going to call a chop block. And, you know, Lyman's going to do that because it was supposed to be a screen pass, but Bo didn't throw it out there.
Well, do they decline the penalty, or is it added after the sack? It was Max Watkins, his first sack of the season.
Well, they're backing up right now.
So it is an illegal block. Penalties declined, so Watkins credit him with the sack.
Not only does he make the sack, but he makes a very good sportsmanlike play by being able to help Bo right back up after making that sack, checking in on him. So it's very good sportsmanlike, and you like to see that.
Oh, absolutely. In a game that hasn't seen a lot of sportsmanlike stuff, you certainly have to appreciate when the players do things like that. So after the sack, second and 15, 2 minutes to go in the half, 22-0 Jackson Heights. It has been a struggle bus for the Trojans. Bo to the near side and right through the hands of a leaping Etherton. It's incomplete. And appearing in coverage is Michael Cornelison, the senior DB. Third down and 15 coming up, and now Jackson Heights has a chance to get a stop and get the ball back with plenty of time and three timeouts. Bo in the first half, 6 of 13 for 59 yards. Quick update, late first half, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, Cowboys a 13-7 lead over the Cats. Game in Stillwater, rare Friday night game for the Big 12. Here's Bo, third and long. Can he make something happen? They dump it down to Hartman. He's got to make a couple moves. Does so, gets to the 40, 45, 50, first down and more, and a monster run after the catch by Jack Hartman on third and 15. He gets all the way to Cobra territory. Let's see where they mark him out.
It looks like the 42-yard line, but it also stops the clock.
That's a 23-yard gain.
On a simple check down, too.
On a check down on third and 15. They got to get the ball to Jack Hartman more.
And, you know, Jackson, like you said, Jackson Heights is a little undersized. You know, Hartman's probably close to being the biggest guy on the field, you know, and he's in that. We've seen him run the ball a couple times effectively. You know, if you can get him going downhill, he'd be a tough guy to tackle, being bigger than most guys out there.
1:48 to go in the half. They swing it to him here near side, and he doesn't get away, and down he goes. That's Wyatt Rollins, the senior, wrapped him up at the hip, and that's going to be a big loss, and the clock continues to move.
Yeah, I see Jackson Heights, you know, a big momentum play from the Trojans, and then what do? Jackson Heights is able to hit them right back and say, hey, we are dominating this game offensively, defensively, and if even if you have a good play or have a great play, to counter it.
That is a loss of 8 yards. Second down and 18 back at midfield. 1:15 clock moving second quarter. Trips right. They send Etherton in motion that way. Bo back to pass. They set up the screen. Tipped in the air and it's incomplete. Cade Holiday, the nearest defender. And third down and long coming up at midfield.
Yeah, going back to that first down pass for -8, you know, we're just talking about Hartman. He's a guy that you want to get going downhill, not sideways. And, you know, you look at guys in the NFL like Derrick Henry. He's not very effective when he's running sideways, you know, going downhill with that big body. And, you know, I get it. You're trying to get him out in space because he just had a good play. But you know, why not just hand the ball off to him and get him going downhill? And it's way harder to tackle that way.
We'll have some score updates at the half. We'll break down this first half. We got a lot going on tonight around the area, week 6 of high school football. They want to set up a screen. They give it to Hartman again, and he's ripped down by Josh Smith at the line of scrimmage for no gain. Well, that's 3 consecutive screen passes that we've seen to Smith. One went for 23. The second went for a -8-yard gain, or no gain, I should say, and that one no gain to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, last week Centralia ran a slip screen. They ran a lot of slip screens, especially in the last minute of play against Jackson Heights, and they were able to score off a 40-yard slip screen. And right now, Jackson Heights, they're able to make those open tackles and open the open field.
Well, nobody's using timeouts. Again, it's probably going to be close to taking us to halftime. We're under 30 seconds.
And I was going to say, Coach Wick, probably content going up 22-0 into the half and gets the ball coming out. I thought maybe he might use a timeout, but... No, I think Melly's a little banged up, and
I would say so.
He carried the ball one
much.
Time on that. He's the one that scored that touchdown on the last touchdown. That's the only time he's carried the ball since that 2-point conversion. So I don't think he's right now, and I think that's why Smith and we've seen Eisenbarth and
a couple of other guys being
McQueen,
utilized.
Schultz, using everybody out of the committee to kind of make up for his lion's share.
So a timeout by Troy. Our timeout's brought to you by Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting. When it's time for a break, excuse me, and you're looking for that perfect snack at the concession stand or in your own living room, try Schlegel's. Many flavors of homegrown popcorn. It is the perfect timeout snack. Again, Brandon Tamman alongside Trenton Kraxner. We got Crendon and Kyson Prophet here with the Cobra Channel. Appreciate their hard work, of course, each and every game. Colin Feldkamp, our studio producer. Of course, coming up, we will have the halftime show brought to you by Highland Community College. Right now, it's been all Cobras. 22-0 their lead. We got 19 seconds to go in this half. Troy out of the timeout, facing 4th and 18 from midfield. Assume they punt. Cobra's probably trying to not do much, and I would expect maybe just a basic run play or maybe a kneel down and just take this thing to the break. But we'll see what they do here. So out of the timeout, they'll be setting up the punt. That will be Troy. This is their second consecutive punt after three turnovers on their first three drives.
Yeah, it looks like a conservative, just make sure they're not running a fake here kind of thing. And
Atherton boots it away pretty well.
Yeah, he's going to have a real good average. Because he had that long one, then going to pin one down here at the 5. And yeah, they'll kneel down with 7 seconds. I don't think they're going to draw up the 95-yard play here.
Well, just 7 seconds to go. Yeah, good punt there. Down at the 6 officially. First down and 10 for the Cobra. Should take us to halftime after one more play. But, of course, we'll break this one down. It's been a very interesting game, to say the least. And Troy will have to certainly rattle themselves up or rally themselves up and try to regroup the best they can, because it's been all Cobras here in the first half of the 22-0 lead. Touchdown runs by Josh Smith, Cade Holiday, and Drake Mellies. And it looks like they will go to that quote-unquote victory formation, one kneel down, and that takes us to the end of the first half. So, again, a dominant first half by Jackson Heights after a loss to Centralia last week. They have come back strong here at home as it's Jackson Heights 22, Troy nothing here at the break. Our halftime show, it's brought to you by Highland Community College. Close to home, far from debt, highlandcc.edu for more information. We'll break it all down when we come back right here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
It's tough to find a Mason that can not only do the job you want, but take your dream and take it to new heights. Enter Trent Ondler with Capital View Masonry, 785-383-1882. Trent is a third-generation Mason with over 20 years of experience. Trent's mission is to treat each customer with the utmost respect and consideration of their wants and desires. Allow Trent to take your vision and take it to new heights. Capital View Masonry, 785-383-1882.
For great food and great variety, visit the Pizza Bakery in downtown Horton. Get all your favorite pizzas along with fresh salads, or try the fettuccine with Alfredo or spaghetti with breadsticks. The Pizza Bakery even has a variety of wings, sandwiches, and wraps, plus dessert pizza. So plan your next meal at the Pizza Bakery in downtown Horton. They're open 7 days a week. For call in, carry out, or eat in, 486-2602. The Pizza Bakery in downtown Horton appreciates your local support. Lifetime Eye Care of Holton is the premier eye care facility with three local doctors, Leslie Gallagher, Nikki Mirpool, and Stacey Mehus. These eye docs will wow you with their dedication to providing excellence in patient care, clinical education, and optical services with the very best and latest technology on site. Lifetime Eye Care also provides the highest quality lenses, frames, and contacts to correct your vision and protect your eye health. Online at lifetimeholton.com or stop by for advanced eye care with a hometown touch. Lifetime Eye Care is on the south side of the Holton Square.
Finishing your degree around a busy schedule? Last class not offered on your campus? Simply prefer working from home? Highland Community College allows you flexibility to complete one class, take transferable general education courses, or earn a degree program with Highland Community College online. Plus, HCC has very affordable rates and a wide variety of class options to choose from. Find out more at highlandcc.edu, the local preferred choice for education, Highland Community College.
KNZA.
Well, halftime is here on the MSC Sports Radio Network from Jackson Heights. Cobras in control and leading this district matchup against Troy 22-0. Touchdown runs by Josh Smith, Cade Holiday, and Drake Mellies. Brandon Tamman alongside Trenton Kraxner, Crendon and Kyson Prophet with the Cobra Channel. Colin Feldkamp, our studio producer. Let's get our kind of initial thoughts on this first half. Troy got the ball. They won the toss, elected to receive. About 4 or 5 plays in, they throw an interception. Short field for Jackson Heights. They take advantage. Josh Smith, a 1-yard run on 3rd and goal. 8-0 after the 2-point try. Troy's second possession. They go turnover on downs. Jackson Heights got it back, took us into the early portions of the second quarter. Another short field. Shouldn't say too short. That was a 62-yard drive, but Cade Holiday, 13-yard run, made it 14-0. Then Troy got it back for a third time. A fumble, a couple plays on that drive. And then Jackson Heights, once again, they take advantage of the turnover. A 43-yard drive that took about 4:03 off the clock. Drake Mellies, a 7-yard run. But that is where things got really interesting on that 7-yard run by Drake Mellies. And what, again, Trenton, by the rules, what appeared to be an illegal block that was put on by, again, I think it was Josh Smith on Seth Judd of Troy, what should have been a penalty called, kind of resulted in some chaos after that. You had Troy coaches all the way on the other side of the field barking at officials. You had the players barking at officials. And then after a two-point conversion, you could tell the coaches were still mad on the field. Ultimately, an assistant coach got ejected for Troy. And then we had three possessions after that. Troy two more times, two punts. Jackson Heights had to punt for one time and ultimately led us to the end of the first half. But four unsportsmanlike conduct penalties for Troy. They got nine penalties for nearly 100 yards in the first half. They just could not get much going. Again, turnovers, penalties, and obviously a lot of frustration for Troy in that first half.
Yeah, you win the toss, you want the ball, and then a tip drill interception, and then it's like a snowball effect. It's been pretty downhill, but yes, I know obviously people are listening can't see it, but you know, a block that 10 to 20 years ago, no one bats an eye at, but today you have to lead with your hands and extend them. Josh Smith just put his shoulder pad right in the face of Seth Judd, which by the rule is an illegal crackback block that wasn't called. And you know, Jared Gass has been around a long time. He knows the rules, and he knows that one got missed, and him and his assistants were out in the field trying to stand for their player, and you know, Troy trying to stand up for their buddy. Seth Judd obviously is back on the field, which is great, but yes, by the rule, a missed call. You can understand the frustration, but if you're Troy, I mean, you got to kind of regroup. You're still trying to win the game here. This is an important district game. No matter what happened in that first half, you got to try and make it run out here in the second half.
I think a lot of the frustration because it happened in front of an official who was right next to it. I mean, as close as you could be, and obviously by the rule, what should have been called, it was not, and that's why you saw the frustrations bleed over, coaches on the field. Ultimately, an assistant coach got ejected. We saw him put his backpack on, take off down the track. He's probably somewhere in the parking lot. But Crendon on the other side, you know, three turnovers, a fumble, an interception, a turnover on downs. We saw Drake Mellies get a little banged up. And you mentioned during that break, one good notice there was that, you know, and you had mentioned maybe he was a little bit hurt, Trenton did. But, you know, he was still out there playing on defense. So maybe he's a little banged up. But if he was truly hurt, don't know if he'd still be playing both ways. But he hasn't done a whole lot offensively, just six carries for 13 yards, but he did have the touchdown run. Again, it's been mostly Cade Holiday in the first half. They've used some couple bodies, but again, after the turnovers, Cobra's bouncing back nicely. They've taken advantage of all three of those.
Yeah, it's definitely a flip of the script from last year. The turnovers are still there. Jackson Heights, they had four turnovers, forcing four turnovers from Troy last year. This, so far, in the first half, three turnovers, except now they have the lead. In fact, they have the points. And instead, it's the goose egg by Troy. And, you know, one thing I want to mention, these teams, they've played 40 games all time together. They're tied 20-20. So this one, that's that number 21, that Jack Black, I mean, perfect number right there.
Right.
I mean, you know, just perfect. So, you know, going on what you were saying with Drake Mellies, is he doesn't really need, I mean, to get all those flashy yards and all those flashy plays, because really the team is right now playing together. They're playing good, solid football. And coming into the week, you know Troy was game planning for Drake Mellies. Most teams, you know, in fairness, do game plan for Drake Mellies. And right now, they're still running that option, but they're handing it off to their other guys. And those assignments from the wide receivers, those slots, those guards, they're getting to that second level, giving those blocks, and allowing either Cade Holiday or Weston Chulion out of the motion, any of those guys to get down the field and make plays. And, you know, Drake Mellies is a tough player, and you see it, he's still playing defense, he's going to still keep playing offense, and I'm hoping that at least if the Cobras do keep this performance up, that they do wind up taking him out of the game at some point.
Cade Holiday, 80 yards on the ground, leading rusher for Jackson Heights. He has certainly been a key piece. Josh Smith, of course, who had the first touchdown, had just 11 carries through the first five games. He had six carries for 36 yards in that touchdown in the first half. But again, it's been all Cobras so far. 22-0 is the score. We'll step aside, have some first half numbers, Got some scores to run through as well, but our halftime continues after a break, and it's brought to you by Highland Community College.
Have you checked your internet speed in a while? More and more devices are connected to the internet in our homes. Things from refrigerators to thermostats are becoming dependent upon Wi-Fi. Head over to rainbowtel.net to check your speed and make sure your home stays well connected. Are you interested in fast, reliable, dependable internet that meets your needs and provides you with the latest in broadband technology? Check out Rainbow Communications, your friendly, local, community-driven service provider. Stop into one of our locations or check us out at rainbowtel.net.
The teams are in the locker room making their halftime adjustments. Is it time to make some adjustments to your tax preparation needs? If so, consider a member of the Optimized Tax Management Group. Our member firms provide year-round tax planning and availability to answer your questions. Visit Mike Tanking, Kay Onler, and Michelle Callison at Holton Tax Services in Holton, or Jacob Yinkst and Courtney Brockoff at NEK Tax Services in Whiting. The Optimized Tax Management Group, providing the help you need when you need it.
You already know us as the best place to bank, but GN Bank is also the best place to borrow. From buying a home to personal and small business loans, whether agricultural operating lines, land loans, or large commercial projects, we put your needs at the center of what we do. We're customer-centered. That's just one part of our four-pillar pledge to you. GN Bank, the best place to bank and borrow. GN Bank in Hiawatha, Holton, Horton, and Wetmore. Come see us and let us give you our best. GN-Bank.com. Equal housing lender.
When you need a handyman, call John's Repair in Holton. From portable welding services to HVAC, heat, and air, John McManacle will fix the job right. Call 969-6400 for John's Repair. They even give a discount to senior citizens. 969-6400 for John's Repair in Holton.
Wish your vehicle looked new again? Trust the professionals at the Fender Mender in Everest, providing free estimates. For body repair, paintwork, and glass installation, no job is too big or small. The Fender Mender in Everest, mending broken parts.
This is the Highland Community College Halftime Show on Kansaland Radio. Catch a break with Highland Community College. Transferable, affordable, and accessible. Log on to highlandcc.edu. From here, you can go anywhere.
Halftime coverage does continue here on the MSC Sports Radio Network alongside Trenton Kraxner, Crendon and Kyson Prophet with the Cobra Channel. Colin Felkamp, our studio producer. I'm Brandon Tadman. Again, Highland Community College, close to home, far from debt. Find them online at highlandcc.edu. Cobras 22, Trojans nothing at the half. Touchdown runs by Josh Smith, Cade Holliday, and Drake Mellies for Jackson Heights, looking to improve to 5-1 on the season. Our statistics are brought to you by the Optimized Tax Management Group, providing the help you need when you need it. Visit member firms Holton Tax Services in Holton with Mike Tanking, Kay Onler, and Michelle Callison, or Northeast Kansas Tax Services in Whiting with Jacob Yinks and Courtney Brockoff. Some of the team numbers in the first half. Rushing-wise, Jackson Heights, 29 total carries for 159 yards, good for 5.5 yards per carry. Troy, just 18 carries for 11 yards, just 1.4 yards per carry. Overall total yards, Jackson Heights 159 all rushing and 85 total yards for Troy in the first half. Troy has turned it over in every possible way, an interception, a fumble, and a turnover on downs. Jackson Heights has not turned it over in the game. 9 penalties for 92 yards for Troy. They had 4 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, also a couple of holds in there as well. It's been a frustrating first half for the Trojans. Jackson Heights, 5 penalties. That has equaled 35 yards. Some of the individual numbers. Again, Jackson Heights, all their damage done on the ground. Cade Holliday, the leading rusher, 12 carries, 80 yards, and a touchdown. Josh Smith has 6 carries for 36 yards and a score. Drake Mellies, just 2 pass attempts in the first half. He's 0-for-2 there, but 6 carries, 13 yards, and a touchdown. Braden McQueen had an interception on defense, and it looked like J.W. Moore was the guy who landed on that fumble that Troy had in the first half as well. Mentioning the penalties for Troy, Jack Hartman, 3 carries, 15 yards for the Trojans, also had 4 catches for 18 yards. Gannon Bowe, 9-17 passing, 74 yards, and an interception. Logan Blevins, Troy's leading receiver, 3 catches for 32 yards. Again, it's Jackson Heights 22, Troy nothing. We'll step aside for another timeout, come back. We'll go through some scores from around the area. It's week 6, and it's all Jackson Heights right now. 22 nothing, their lead over Troy, and we're back after this.
What do people like most, you think, about the experience of getting a new vehicle here at Holt Health?
People like having one person that they deal with. When you go in the paperwork office, in the finance office, you get to deal with Stephanie, and we don't have any admin fees, no doc fees, none of that crazy stuff a lot of other places have. So it's pretty straightforward and honest, and we just try to be upfront about it. I get a lot of good feedback from those things.
Online at HoltHouseAutoHouse.com. How many Holt House vehicles have you seen today?
Need some team spirit? How about Lasting Impressions? Your apparel headquarters is Lasting Impressions in Northeast Kansas, specializing in screen printing, embroidery, vinyl graphics, and more. Located off Highway 75 in Holton, Lasting Impressions, where fan enthusiasm begins.
Dr. Andrew Euler with Euler Family Dental, located at 2401 Frederick Avenue in St. Joseph, is now accepting new patients. Practicing general dentistry, contact Euler Family Dental to schedule an appointment or follow Dr. Andrew Euler DDS on Facebook.
We are excited to let you know that the Farmers State Bank is updating our Touch Banking mobile banking app to an FSB branded app.
That's Leslie Smith, Vice President of Farmers State Bank in Holton.
When you log into the Touch Banking app, you will be prompted to update the app. At that time, the new FSB app will be downloaded to your phone. Please call or come in with any questions. We'd be happy to help.
That's what I like about Farmers State Bank.
In Holton, member FDIC.
The answer is yes, SBS.
This is Lauren Henry. Got big dreams for your small business? You're not alone. SBS Insurance is a growing business, too. That's why we work with Nationwide, the number one small business insurer in the U.S. We can help protect and grow your business so you can focus on making your small business dreams come true. Give your local SBS Insurance agency a call today. Nationwide is on your side.
SBS Insurance, the home team. The answer is yes.
Here's Cody with Ice Automotive just south of Holton.
Well, we were in the exhaust business for so many years, and now it's a complete automotive service shop. Installed three new heavy lifts for 1 tons, 3/4 tons. That's bale beds and even clear up to the 5500 series pickups we can service and specialize in diesel repair also. I mean, we want to treat your car like our own, and if we see an issue, we want to tell you about it. We're not going to lie to you. Be treated just like family.
Ice Automotive just south of Holton on Highway 75.
Kansaland Radio.
Halftime again brought to you by Highland Community College. Just a few minutes until we start the third quarter between Jackson Heights and Troy. It's all Cobras, 22-0 as we go through just some scores from around the area. And a halftime score, 2A number 1 Nemaha Central, 10-0. Their lead against Minneapolis, so the Lions hanging tough with the top team in the state, and Nemaha Central looking for their 19th straight win, but they have also posted four consecutive shutouts and are the top scoring defense, but just 10-0 Nemaha Central at the half. McLeod leading Valley Falls 29-0 at the half. Perry Lecompton a 19-0 lead over Jefferson West. In the Northeast Kansas League, it's ACCHS 20-6 over Moore Hill Mount Academy. The battle of Atchison County, that game on Care 93.7. Rock Creek all over Hiawatha, 48-0 at the half. Mustangs in control over the Red Hawks there. And a very good one in Class 1A, defending champ St. Mary's, 14-6. They lead at JCN, Jefferson County North, who's number 3 in the state at the half. We'll take a final 2-minute timeout, come back, and get you started here with the third quarter. Cobras 22, Trojans nothing. Thanks again to listening to our halftime show that's been brought to you by Highland Community College. Close to home, far from death, highlandcc.edu. Second half coming your way next here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
The retail room at Anderson Meats in Troy is now open. Besides continually growing meat processing, Anderson Meats now has local meat available in the front of the store that you can grab and go. The selection varies, and they will continue to add more options. So stop in on Last Chance Road in Troy and check it out. Anderson Meats, friendly and local staff working efficiently to process your livestock in a timely manner and does every job to exact customer specifications. Anderson Meats, just south of Troy on Last Chance Road, where quality meets satisfaction.
Kramer Agency Incorporated is your local, independent insurance agency located in Ozaukee. The family business continues with agent Julie Durand and her father, Bill Kramer. Being an independent insurance agency allows Kramer to find the perfect policy for you, but not strapped to one company. Call Julie today at 785-876-2493 to get a free quote. When's the last time you really let your insurance company work for you? Trust Julie Durand with Kramer Insurance in Ozaukee. Not only the best choice, but also the trusted choice. Moreland James Bank is excited to announce they've officially adopted a new brand, Bank of Blue Valley, a division of HTLF Bank. While the brand may be new, the commitment to the community remains the same, to provide the same great personalized service from the same great local bankers. Reach out to one of the Bank of Blue Valley bankers or visit bankbv.com for more information. Bank of Blue Valley, with locations in Hiawatha and Sabetha, a division of HTLF Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Medical Pharmacy in Holton is your independent and locally owned pharmacy, taking pride in providing the best possible service and care to our area communities. Medical Pharmacy focuses on convenience by offering free in-town delivery as well as a drive-up window to pick up your prescriptions. Call or stop by to inquire about the new mobile app for Medical Pharmacy with online bill pay options as well, offering COVID and flu vaccines too from local pharmacists you know like Joe, Jeff, Leslie, and Dalton. Medical Pharmacy, located adjacent to the hospital in Holton.
103.9 FM, KNZA.
About to kick off the second half. I want to welcome our listeners on a KMZA 92.1 that listened to the call by Jared Sleppy. Axtell, big over Hanover. Another halftime mercy rule win for the Eagles, who have now won 32 in a row. So Axtell, another big win. They continue on with their dominant season. So we have you on both 103.9 and 92.1. Also on the Cobra Channel if you want to watch the game as well. We bring it to you at mscsports.net. Here we go. Start of the second half. Trojans need some luck and some turnaround. They're going to be kicking off from right to left. Cobras receiving. They'll move left to right. And the Cobras, again, a 22-0 lead and a short kick. It's going to be a fair catch at about the 35. That is the freshman, Titan Eisenbarth, with that fair catch, who plays up once again. So Jackson Heights officially first and 10 at their own 33-yard line is... Once again, Trenton alongside. We got Crendon, Kyson Prophet with the Cobra Channel. Colin Felkamp, our studio producer. I am Brandon Tadman. Again, Cobras 22-0 their lead as we start this opening drive of the third quarter. First and 10, Cobras at their own 33.
Big time drive if you're Troy. Got to get a stop here out of the gate. You go down four scores, you're looking at a long task to climb up.
The first carry here for Jackson Heights. It's Cade Holiday to the right side over the right guard. And Anthony Gulotta, not much there. Maybe a yard or two at best. It'll bring up second down. But Trenton, as you mentioned again, huge drive here for the Trojans defensively. Can they get the big stop and maybe force a turnover or a punt? If you can get a stop and a score, all of a sudden it's just a two-score game potentially, and you give yourself certainly an opportunity after it was a very, very tough first half.
And this is an important down because if they get to third and short, they can run the football. But if you put them in third and long, you know, they might force them a pass, but they're going to convert with ease.
Oh, Julian to midfield. There he goes. It's a foot race on the end around. 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown, Cobras. Johnny, on the spot, you were on the opposite end of it. You said the Trojans needed a big stop here on second and 9. Instead, it's a monster touchdown run, and just like that, 28-0 our score. On the end around, as you check the replay on the Cobra Channel, man, it was a near catchdown by Colt Jensen, the freshman DB. But again, it was an end around that went a long ways for a Cobra's touchdown. 28-0, just like that, not even a minute into this third period. Melly's in the gun, going for two. Takes a knee-high snap. They give it to Smith on an end-around from right to left. This is gobbled up. It's no good, and now a late flag is thrown.
I don't know who that was on.
Stop me if you've heard that before.
I was going to call a hold. I don't know why you would call it after the tackle, but...
Well, the penalty. penalties declined, so no problem anyways. But 28-0 our score, big touchdown just like that, not even a minute into the second half. We'll step aside, all Cobras here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
So, what's new at Peru State?
More opportunities.
With today's most in-demand career paths.
Like criminal justice,
education,
business administration,
and pre-med.
Plus new sports, clubs, and activities to enhance your four-year journey.
More flexibility in how you attend class.
On campus or online.
With no classes on Fridays. And low tuition. Peru State is one of the lowest cost four-year degrees in the nation.
Peru State College. Schedule a tour at peru.edu/tour.
So, what else is new at Peru?
How about you?
Kansaland Radio.
Well, that drive summary brought to you by Wilson Tire. When selection and service matter, choose Matt and Terry Wilson at Wilson Tire in Holton. Find them online, WilsonTireKS.com. Well, a quick scoring drive to open up the third quarter. It took 67 yards of the field, just two plays, and not even 49 seconds to be exact off the clock, left to right end around. Weston Chulion's 66 yards finds pay dirt. 28-0 Cobras, just like that. This game getting out of hand here early in this third quarter. Short kickoff, return here by Jensen, the freshman, gets it up to the 45, and that's where Troy will begin their first offensive drive of the second half. Weston Chulion's, he had one carry in the first half for 13 yards, and his second carry goes for 66 and a touchdown.
That's the big thing that Jack Smith is able to pick up. Weston Chulion, the senior coming out of Wetmore, he offers a lot of speed. He's caught a long touchdown in the year for 68 yards, and there it was a 68-yard rushing touchdown.
That's his first touchdown of the season. Big-time fashion on an end-around that went near 70 yards. 11:02 to go, third quarter. 28-0, Jackson Heights. Seth Judd, the man in motion to the far side right. Bo in the shotgun, moving to his right, being chased, throws it across the middle. It's dropped. Logan Blevins was hit. That's a couple of drops for him today. And it was Bauhey in coverage. And it'll bring up second down and 10.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I'd hate to bring up some Christmas songs, but baby, it is cold outside. As you can see, these receivers having a hard time already keeping their hands on the ball. We've seen a little bit in the first half as Bo's struggling to pass it, and they're just struggling to hold on to it.
So second down and 10, the 45-yard line, 10:56 to go, third period. All Jackson Heights, 28-0 here at home. Here's Bo, back to pass, who threw an interception early, just dumps it down to Hartman. He'll shimmy his way for a couple for four. He'll get shy of midfield, but third and six coming up. And I said it in the first half, and we knew coming in, the numbers suggest that Bo and this Troy offense, they like to throw it. That's been what they do in years past, but they got a really big, strong physical running back in Jack Hartman, and they just simply don't use him a whole lot. He is the leading rusher coming in. Came in with 219 yards, but just three carries for 15 yards in the first half. I'm just shocked they don't use him a little bit more in the run game. Now a quad set here to the near side. Shotgun set. They go to the lone receiver right. Well incomplete. And this is going to be a late hit. They're going to get Braden McQueen, who hit Blevins from behind on a ball that was sailed out of bounds, and Troy's going to catch a big break.
I don't know if Jackson Heights is the team to complain necessarily. I mean, because, you know,
might be the quote-unquote makeup call, I guess, if you want
right,
to look at it that way.
And, you know, Troy's hit them a couple times after the whistle, and, you know, it's been called, so, I mean, you can't really complain because it's been pretty tightly called on anything after the play. But, you know, just let him fall to the ground. I mean, I guess, you know, you don't need to hit him. The ball went over his head. You saw it. You're in close enough coverage.
Well, Troy needed it. They'll take all the yards they can get. Personal foul. Now it's up to near the Jackson Heights 35, where the Trojans will have first and 10, sixth penalty of the game for Jackson Heights. Gannon Bow now 10-20 passing for 80 yards and an interception here tonight. First and 10 at the 36. Not quite 2 minutes into the third quarter. Cobras leading 28-0. Bo in the shotgun. He's forced out of the pocket. Throws to the right. Caught by Etherton. Gets to the 30. Gobbled up there, and that's where he gets pushed out of bounds for a gain of about 6 yards.
And lucky enough for Troy, with them passing the ball a lot, they are built perfectly to come back from a four-score deficit. You know, they can get up and down the field. They haven't really taken many deep shots, but with the passing, you know, they're not a run-heavy team, so playing in their element, I guess, of being able to score quick with passing the football.
Second down and 4. Ball at the 30-yard line. Now they give it off to Etherton here on an end around, trying to make a man miss. He cannot. Down he goes as Shulion makes the stop in the backfield. A shoestring tackle. It's going to be a loss of 4. Now all of a sudden it's 3rd and 9.
Yeah, and that saved a touchdown because Jack Hartman laid Michael Cornelison. He threw a pancake. But if you know if he gets around Smith there, Troy's on the board. But a big play to come up and get a tackle for a loss. And that jet sweep just hasn't been effective since the first time that they ran. It's been a loss. And Jackson Heights' linebackers have done a nice job running up and filling the gaps and on the outside runs like that.
Officially a loss of 3. 3rd down and 8. Just inside the 35 of Jackson Heights. Judd in motion in front of the face of Gannon Bowe. Takes a shotgun snap, thrown across the middle, and it's nearly intercepted. Good defense. Michael Cornelison got a couple paws on it, but it's going to bring up 4th down.
Looks like Anthony Galati got the quarterback hit after the play.
Well, we talked about it in the first half. The defensive line for Jackson Heights has been closing that pocket for Bowe. He's been running for his life for a good portion of the night. He's now 11 of 22 passing for just 86 yards. But now, in what I would think everyone agrees here, is a must convert for the Trojans, down 28-0 at 9:05 to go in the third quarter. They got 4th down and 8 at the Jackson Heights 34-yard line. They are in the gun. Hartman to his right. He'll be blocking. Bo's got time. He's going to take a deep shot towards the end zone. Caught by Blevins inside the 5. And it's 1st and goal for the Trojans. A one-on-one battle with McQueen, and Logan Blevins gets that one done there with a nice jump ball catch to the 2-yard line for a gain of 32.
And that's what I've been waiting for all night. You know, they've been, like I said, they've been throwing everything shorter, intermediate. You got to try and take the top off the defense at one point. And they,
like I said, had to get it to have a chance this game. And I think that defensive line has kind of held the deep ball, but it held up well enough there. The offensive line did.
I try to go to Hartman here on the run officially, and now it's pitched back. I'm not sure what happened there, but Bo has it all of a sudden. Gets to the near side pylon, and he gets into the end zone. He handed it off to Jack Hartman. He runs into a couple of blocks, and then he turns around and pitches it right back to Bo, who takes it into the near side for a Trojan touchdown.
A high IQ legal play, you know. You know, that easily could have been a whistle blowing for Fort Progress. So we've seen that a couple of times on a couple of Jack Knight runs where they let him, the officials kind of let him push the pile a little bit, realizing that he's pitching back to his quarterback, and then he had the answer there was in the middle of the field.
Let me finish up first.
Well, they need you on the board, and they found the way.
Gannon Bowe will have a credit for the touchdown run. His second rushing touchdown of the year makes it 28-6. Little top pass here to Hartman, and it's tipped and incomplete, so it stays 28-6 on the missed try for 2. 8:34 to go, third quarter. 28-6, Jackson Heights leading Troy here in this Class 1A District 4 showdown. We'll take a timeout, come back right here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
You already know us as the best place to bank, but GM Bank is also the best place to borrow. From buying a home to
purchase
a small business, whether agricultural operating lines, land loans, or large corporate projects, we put your needs at the center of what we do. We're customer center. That's just one part of our wholesale approach to you. GM Bank, the best place to bank and borrow. GM Bank in Hiawatha, Fulton, Horton, and Wetmore. Come see us and let us do our best. GM-Bank.com.
Drive summary brought to you by Wilson Tire. When selection and service matter, choose Matt and Terry Wilson at Wilson Tire in Holton. Find them online, WilsonTireKS.com. Full crew in the house, Brandon Tabb and Trent Kratzner, Brendan and Kaiser Profit with the Cobra Channel, Colin Felkamp, our studio producer, and drive for Troy. First one of the night, 55 yards. Takes about 2.5 minutes. Gannon Bowe gets a 3-yard touchdown run. 2-point conversion try failed, but still all Jackson Heights. 28-6 is our score, but again, much needed for the Trojans. And there's still plenty of time. And they got a good stop early. They had a couple of stops defensively in the first half late, but
We're going to have to string together some stops and scores here. Short kick. Here's Shulian. Took a long touchdown run to begin the second half, and he's wrapped up quickly at the 30. Brought down by Logan Blevins, who has a big reception of 33 yards on fourth down. Led to that touchdown by Troy just a moment ago. Jackson Heights first and 10 at their own 30. Going a three-possession game right now to the Trojans. Jackson Heights, they're only 2-for-4 on two-point conversions, and that's what the Trojans need to be if they want to score those two touchdowns. And they have to go 2-for-4 if they want to tie the game. Belly's back to work. He was a little hobbled in the first half, but seems to be okay. They go to Holiday here, first carry. Falls forward, blockers pushing him from behind, coming up to the 34 for a gain of 4.
And this is where ball security becomes heavily important because Troy's looking for a quick turnover. They're going to be ripping out the football. Saw Jack Hartman doing it there. So ball security is at the utmost importance right now to Jackson Heights because Troy knows that they need a quick turnover.
Jackson Heights, you know what they're going to do for the most part. Keep it on the ground, try to churn out some clock here with the 28-6 lead here. Still early third quarter. Second down and 6 after the 4-yard carry by Holiday under center. They go right back to him, trying to get to the outside. Now makes a man miss, cuts up outside the numbers 40, 45, and down at the 46. It's a gain of 12 yards on second and 6, and it's a first down run there for Kate Holiday, approaching another 100-yard night for him.
Holiday is doing a great job on the night, making man miss there. He nearly made 2 miss, was able to make 1. He's just been having a great night at running back. Killian, that's high tonight, we call it.
97 yards unofficially on the ground. So again, he's had multiple 100-yard games this season, approaching another one here. 7:37, clock moving third quarter. Cobras 28, Trojans 6. Cobras have it first and 10, just shy of midfield. Ball near side hash, they move left to right. Holiday in motion, they give it to him. Nope, it's a fake. Here's Melly's midfield more. 45-40, 35-30. Outside the numbers, spinning away from a tackle, and then finally brought down near the 20-yard line.
Still third quarter.
Melly's, he's had a dominant year. He's been quiet most of the night outside of that touchdown run. He takes it to the 20-yard line. It is a gain of 34 for Drake Melly's.
And we've been questioning ever since that two-point version. Well, again, but he looked pretty good there. I ain't gonna lie. Looked real good. That's a good sign for Jackson Heights.
Now 7 carries, 47 yards, longest carry of the night, and now all of a sudden in the red zone, approaching the halfway mark, it is 1st and 10 at the 20, in the halfway mark of the third period, 28-6, the Cobras lead it. Now he's under center, fakes to 1, they go to Josh Smith, a little dive up the right guard, and he's inside the 15, that is a good first down run, he gets to the 13 for a gain of 7, maybe even 8, I think, they officially move it up another yard. So 8 yards to the 12, and Josh Smith, who had a touchdown run on the opening drive, is at his best game of the season here. He is up to 7 carries for 44 yards. Second down and 2 at the 12 coming up. 6:35 to go, clock moving third quarter. Cobras 28, Trojans 6. Ball near side hash. Cobras moving left to right. They set under center. They go to McQueen, right guard dive. Needed 2. Looks like he gets inside the 10 to about the 7. A gain of 5 for former Wetmore Cardinal Braden McQueen. So first and goal at the 7 for the Cobras. When the Trojans desperately needed to find a stop, it's not looking like it at this point. When all of a sudden, just like that, a couple of big runs gets the Cobras to first and goal at the 7. Touched up on the halfway point of this third quarter. Clock on the move south. 28-6 all Cobras trying to add to it. Melly's again under center. Delayed hand. This is Smith. He is buried by Hayden Hegarty in the backfield. Kind of lost a yard. We'll see where they mark it. Maybe got at least a yard. That's it. And good play by Hegarty, the defensive lineman. They do give him a yard as forward progress, but a good play. Brings up second down and goal to 6.
That was a big late handoff. Honestly, kudos to the Jackson Heights offensive line, not giving up, keeping those clocks, pretty much even just get them back to the line of scrimmage.
5:24, clock on the move. Second and goal for the Cobras at the 6. They will spread it out, 2x2 set. Now
We've seen Holiday in motion across his face. They fake to him. We've seen it all night. Bellies again, sidesteps, hops the man, gets into the end zone. Believe it, for the Jackson Heights Cobras, as it's another rushing touchdown for Drake Bellies, his team leading 14th of the year at 5:11 to go in this third period. Now 34-6, it is all Jackson Heights. Yeah, Drake Bellies been this drive particularly amazing read option. He's keeping it, and then the receivers, the slots, they know their assignments to go down the field and get those blocks. I was talking with Flagner, and that's a big thing that this team needs to do. Is when he runs that read option, this team needs to be ready. They're going to pass it here for a two-point conversion try. Now stuttering and moving to his right. Rifles one into the end zone. It's incomplete. So it stays 34-6. But the Cobras, just like that, when the Trojans needed a stop, Cobras go 70 yards. Drake Bellies finds the end zone for a second time tonight. 5:11 to go, third quarter. 34-6, Jackson Heights over Troy. Back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Don't let worrying about the weather bother your peace of mind on your peace of earth. Call Midwest Crop Insurance in Seneca today. Best Leaders can provide you with protection from the hay and grazing part of your operation.
Drive summary again brought to you by Wilson Tire. When selection of service matters, use Matt and Terry Wilson of Wilson Tire in Holton. Find them online at WilsonTireGameStab.com. 5:11 to go, third quarter. 34-6. Jackson Heights lead. Second rushing touchdown for Drake Mellies tonight. 14th of the year. That one from 6 yards out. That drive took 3 minutes and 20 seconds off the clock. Covered 70 yards. We've seen three drives here in the third quarter. We've seen three touchdowns. Two by the Cobras and one by the Trojans. But it's been all Jackson Heights from the jump. Here's a return near side. This is 11th up near the 39. That was Seth Judd, excuse me, on the return. They'll get to the 40-yard line where Troy takes over. 5:04 to go in the third, down 34-6. Well, again, if you're just joining us, this game featured in Troy, and now it looks like Jack Hartman's injured.
Yeah, he kind of got rolled up on it. They were playing Jack Meister, kind of got pinned to the ground. He rolled up underneath Hartman from behind, and yeah, he's a little gimpy.
Well, that's certainly a player you don't want to lose. I mean, at this point, is a comeback possible? Down 34-6 at 5:04 to go in this third quarter. Troy's remaining schedule after tonight, they return home to take on Omega next week, and then they'll go to Riverside to close out the regular season. On the other side, Jackson Heights will get ACCHS next week, and then they'll play Omega in week 8 on the road.
Right.
Second drive in the third quarter for Troy. First and 10, just shy of their own 40.
From
Bo back to pass, looking right, takes a deep shot, beautiful spiral, tipped in the air, and it's incomplete. Braden McQueen with great coverage there on Logan Blevins. Well, that last drive for Troy, we saw that same matchup where Blevins had the big 30-plus reception to set up first and goal. That time McQueen getting the better of Blevins there with a pass breakup.
You're going to wonder how Troy's going to try to get down the field. I mean, he just can't just throw it up one-on-ones every single time. That's not going to work. I mean, where's my dad mad when he's playing? I mean, he wants to come back, just throw it up in the air, receiver catches it. But not sure if that's going to be the viable option for Troy here, just throwing a one-on-one matchup, hoping that they come out on top.
Now, second down and 10, shy of the 40. Troy moving right to left here in the third quarter, just under 5 minutes to go in the frame. Quick pass to the near side. It's picked off by Cornelison to the 35-30. 25-20 and out of bounds he goes. Knocked out of bounds. Second interception by Gannon Bowe, but there's a penalty flag on the field.
There'll be something after the interception, though. I don't know who it's against, but it's...
Well, apparently one of Troy's...
How about Michael Cornelison reading that pass and jumping in front of the receiver, I should say, and picking that one off and nearly taking it to the house. And it's another personal foul. Face mask against Troy after the interception.
Yeah, ever since that first interception where it was kept up in the air off your wide receiver's hands and set at halftime, it was a snowball effect. And, you know, you just keep going downhill. The snowball just keeps getting bigger. collecting the personal fouls. He turned the ball over. And, you know, we're just getting routed now. And it's very unfortunate because this is a big game for Troy in district play because they lost to Centralia.
So much.
Just talked about the upcoming two. They really got to win those two games. But, you know, it's definitely not the showing that they wanted to put out tonight in a big game.
Now stoppage of play. Timeout called by Troy. Jackson Heights after the penalty. First and goal at the 10. We need to step aside. Our timeout brought to you. Schlegel's Homegrown Popcorn and Wine. And we're back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Rebate, and more rebate. You want an opportunity to get into the game? Well, contact Wilson Tire today at 785-362-8473. Right now, Matt and Terry at Wilson Tire.
Great picture of Colin Ball. Bill Collins, Terry Ball.
7-3. After the interception by Michael Cornelison and a face mask penalty against Troy after the play, Jackson Heights set up beautifully.
It's still over the ears. Yeah, the ears aren't going to hear it very good right now. Okay. Talk to me.
Yeah, buddy. Can
you hear me? Okay. Touchdown, Jackson Heights. One play drive that takes 10 yards.
Two left.
And it's 40-6 Cobras at 4:46 to go in the third.
They're kicking extra point here. Now, I'm going to ask you, Craig, who would kick this extra point?
Well, it would be Josh Smith, but actually
right
a fun
now,
little fact that
ears.
Next year Jackson Heights is going to get a real kicker. He's this kid named Austin, I can't remember his last name, but he's coming from Holton. He wasn't able to play this year because of the transfer rules, but his junior and senior year, he's going to be a kicker. I hear he can kick 35-yard field goals, and he's a decent punter. So this Jackson Heights team could have a really good kicker coming in next year, but right now we're going to see Josh Smith, who has not made an extra point for this year. High snap, the lefty with the toe-poke boot. He definitely had the left in the distance, but he pushed it right, no good. So, good effort there by Smith, no good. Doesn't do much harm for Jackson Heights. 4:46 to go, third period.
Well, we're not going
to
be on this, though.
6 after a 10-yard touchdown
run. I'm not going to be on myself.
Seconds of the night for Kate Holliday. We're back after a timeout here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
So, whatever is connected to Zoom,
K-State
fumble.
They lost by 20 yards. It didn't say fumble. It doesn't say.
So you hear the ad right now?
So it was.
I'm over that game. That game's done.
I don't even know who you play next week, but
you're
gone to whoever.
Hashtag, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who do you have to turn that on?
That's another team that's underperforming.
Well, because it should be on you.
It's just at this point. Because
if we do that, that's going to go over here.
Okay.
And so.
We got 4:46 to go in the third quarter. Jackson Heights has scored 3 touchdowns on 3 drives. That one is short and sweet as you can get. One play, 10 yards, 6 seconds off the clock. A 10-yard run by Kate Holliday, set up by the interception by Michael Cornelison, and then a face mask that set it up first and goal at the 10-yard line. So, again, that drive summary brought to you by Wilson Tire. 40-6 Cobras. What a bounce back for them after taking that first L of the season last week at Centralia. Short kick. This is Jensen, the freshman, who's taking a couple of short kicks here tonight from Troy. He's instantly grabbed his knees and ripped down at the 39, and that's where Troy begins his drive.
Just because I needed me. I was trying to mute you. I needed you.
And at this point, Troy just trying to keep as many guys as he can healthy.
Well, I'm not.
Let's move on to next week.
You're
still
internet
5 minutes
terrible
to go for us. We've got a long way to go, and Jackson Heights has performed, especially here in the third quarter, with already 3 touchdowns on 3
showing
drives.
On your end, your internet is red.
Holliday has 2 touchdowns tonight. Mellies has 2 touchdowns tonight. Julian, who had the biggest run of the ball, 67 yards to Fader.
You're back.
On an end around.
Well, you're slow.
As now Levin takes one here down the sideline after a screen pass. He's at the 30, 25,
you're
20,
back,
and finally Mellies forcing him out of bounds.
And now you're slow.
Let's see where they mark him out. It almost looks like it was an incompletion. That's going to be a pitching catch of 50 yards.
It's a replay in high school football, if there was. Zach, the coach would be throwing a challenge flag.
Talk to me.
So, will you stay? If my okay, so hey, I'm good. My Wi-Fi is low or locked up. You won't be able to hear.
It doesn't move. We're mobile. I think that may have been the case.
Pass immediately rolling to his left, throws it to the end zone, wide open, touchdown. Well, just like that, that is a touchdown. That is Alex Deshaun, his second touchdown of the season, his first catch tonight. And it's a 40-12 game before 27 to go in the third.
Now, I was going to say on that questionable catch call on the screen, you know, Jack Knight ain't going to be that upset about that when you're up 40-6, but, you know, leaving a guy wide open in the end zone like that is definitely somewhere you can coach your guys up and be a little bit upset with, but, you know, unless something drastic happens, you're probably pretty comfortable in the last 16 and a half minutes up 28 points.
That is the 10th passing touchdown for Bo. Here's Etherton on a reverse, trying to get away. He will not. He'll lose a few yards. And it stays 40-12. So we have seen a lot of
scores. Etherton's fighting. He gets tripped
on,
and then he kicked him. That should be an ejection. I'm not going to lie. And
it has been a frustrating night, even despite now Etherton has his helmet off, and he is not happy. And that is the 5th unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. And the fans certainly don't like it. And even after a positive drive there for the Trojans, it turned sour pretty quickly.
It's just been an overall frustrating night.
Well, before I was interrupted by some scrum on the field, I was going to say for Bo, that was his 10th touchdown of the year, Deshaun's second of the season. And you mentioned, I didn't see if they have already confirmed an ejection there for Etherton, but I have to imagine that's probably the case for him.
I didn't any signal. I was watching for it. It's called unsportsmanlike. I know you get two unsportsmanlike conducts, but to the fact where he tripped Julian and then he kind of came on top of him like he wanted to throw some hands, you know, to me, if I was an official, I'd say that he should be heading to the bus. But
well, we've already seen a Troy assistant coach head to the parking lot, ejected in the first half for
Etherton's out there on the kick team. He's on the far side, and, you know, maybe they just, they're drafting around to the midfield to get an explanation from the white hat, but apparently he's going to stay in the game for now.
Well, it's a 40-12 Cobras lead. That is the 5th touchdown here in the third quarter between the two teams. This game was 22-0 at the half. We still got 4.5 minutes to go here in the third, and all of a sudden it's 40-12. The only possession that wasn't a touchdown, Troy threw that interception to Court Nielsen that set up a real short field for Jackson Heights.
You know, if they call it unsportsmanlike on Troy, why did they move forward 15 yards? Or did they signal unsportsmanlike on Julian?
They pointed to Jackson Heights, but I heard
I think that's what everyone thought, but is Julian like coming into the plate, and that's why Etherton, I mean, Etherton should have got penalized either way, but so that's actually on Julian?
So they actually call it looks like on Jackson Heights, so they put the ball up 15 yards regardless. It's a penalty against Jackson Heights after that play, but it's going to be a short kick, fair catch for Jackson Heights, Holiday. And we got an injured player down on the field, and Levin played the hit, but well, this is turning sour. Both these teams, I don't think, are very happy with one another.
I think that was Eisenbar. Now, Coach Wade just got a flag. I think it might be Eisenbar.
Oh, boy.
Well, he's up now, but I think he's the one that got hit.
Well, Wick is running out on the field, grabbing Josh Smith.
Well, Smith was.
I think Smith was trying to maybe get a little.
No, it was. Yeah, Eisenbar 7, right? Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, okay. He's the one that got hit. Smith was right there with Etherton on that little scrum. It looked like Smith wanted some action there, too.
Well, Eisenbarth does not look right. He is hurt. And if immediately drops to the knees as soon as he hits the sideline.
And, you know, Blevins was upset when his coach got ejected. He was throwing stuff on the sideline, you know, so that's a cheap shot, but they didn't call that. It was kind of bang-bang. It was after the whistle, but he hit him.
Wait, they just called that on Jackson Heights?
Yeah, because they did some after the play. But I could see with Blevins, he hit the guy. It was kind of bang-bang when he hit Eisenberg. It was definitely after the whistle, but Smith definitely hit something. But, you know, the officials have not done a good job with the cheap shots. Blevins has been
got their fair
share for Troy.
Simple stuff here. And the Cobras on offense. And with us doing the calls, they got a third quarter again. It's been a long third quarter. Thanks for hanging with us. It's on KSPA 103.9, also 92.1, and Cobra Channel at NFCSports.net. Cobra's leading this one 40-12. Now at the 90-second mark to go in the third quarter. Got first and 10 near the 45, moving left to right. Ellis takes the snap, option right. Might have been a busted play, trying to get a block, getting all the way to the outside. He'll just run out of bounds and gets yard at the 46. Not much there from Ellis. Good pursuit there by the Trojans defense. Ellis has been quiet. He does have the two touchdowns. He's only had one game this year coming into tonight where he didn't rush for over 100 yards. He's at 9 carries for 54 right now. And he was a little hobbled up in the first half, and they kind of went away from him. But Holiday and some other guys, certainly Josh Smith, a big part of that success. And speaking of Josh Smith, he'll bully his way into Trojan territory and near a first down, just a simple dime play. They'll mark him near the first down stick to the 44, so it's a gain of 10 for Josh Smith, and by far and away his best game of the season.
You know, what's most surprising is that you haven't seen this game from him since last year. Remember, it's been since the Onega game where I even gave him player of the game, where he just had a dominant performance in the running game. It's just been that Squatter Beaver hasn't gotten much rest at running back in this game. Christian's had as many carries.
So, I don't know if it'll be better or worse for you, but you're going to stay on this.
Yeah, that's his 10th carry tonight. He had all the 11 carries coming in. You're surely on to have the big run. He'll have a good carry here up the middle on first down inside the Trojan 40. To the 38 for a gain of 6 by Julian. Julian had that 66-yard touchdown run on the end around in the second play.
That's what I don't. I mean, I'm just talking about like your data or whatever. You know, like data.
Look at the yardages. Holiday with 109. Julian has 85. Smith has 69. Melly's with 54. Second down and 4. Could be the final play of the third quarter. Melly's under center. They go to McQueen, dive over the right guard, maybe a yard, that's it. Well, it should take us to the end of the third quarter.
I'm going to leave mine up.
Well, we have had just a little bit of everything here in this game tonight. We have had maybe double-digit personal foul penalties. We've seen a coach ejected. We've seen both head coaches more than halfway on the field at times.
When you did that whole transition, you
we've seen
like,
extra scrubs between the players. It has been chippy, to say the least, in a game that's been all Jackson Heights. As we head to the fourth quarter, 40-12, Jackson Heights. Yeah. Back for the final 12 right after this on the MSU Sports Radio Network.
Tony, you want to say anything about Buzz real quick?
Yeah.
Hey, are you wearing your North Dakota shirt?
North Carolina?
I mean, freaking juju between you and I, dude. Freaking well.
State Farm handles more plants than any other company. Over 35,000.
All right, I'll
hold it. Will be holding 22,000.
In holding contact, just one of the 3-6-4-38-90.
Holding that 93 total yards in the first time.
All right, I'll hold it. This
is the best of 16-3.
With just 12 rooms and 2 locations, the Pine offers a more relaxing and facilitating environment where we work together as a team and enjoy getting to know our residents.
You planning on being there for the hospital? I
believe
so, yeah. I'll be a good one.
Call us at the Pine.
I'll be staying there. You've got to get to stay there now.
26-7, K-6 Lucas.
Final 12 minutes. It was a long third quarter here, but Jackson Heights in control leading Troy
3-12
in the district contest. I'm Brady Savitt. Thank you for hanging with us tonight. Trent Kraxner alongside Brendan and Tyson Bronco with the Cobra Channel.
Yeah.
Our studio producer. Don't forget the Community National
Especially
Bank
after
High
after
School
bye
Radio,
week.
Which is
yeah,
boss. Wrap up tonight's Week 6 action. Recap scores, analysis, and everything.
Fourth quarter.
Third down and 2 here for Jackson Heights. And it's going to
Howard should be healthy.
Against the Cobra. So 3rd and 2 is back up now to 3rd and 7.
Miscommunication communication with the center. I think it was 4th and 8.
We'll bang that. It looks like he's done tonight, which is fine. Josh Smith, Julian, McQueen have stepped up big night. The game's well in hand, but you hope that's nothing long term for probably some high aspirations for playoffs this year for Jackson.
Key
pieces.
Quarterback, you go to Smith, on 37, he gets some penalty yards back. Does he have enough for a first down? Depends on the spot. Your side official says he does. Inside the 35 to the 33, needed 7. Looks like he got just enough. Call it 7.5 yards on that carry. And another first down run for the Cobras. This drive started with just under 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. They have carried it over into the early portions of the fourth. Trying to put this game away. Again, it's been chippy to say the least tonight between both these teams. A lot of extracurricular stuff, unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, and Smith gets another carry over the right guard. Bauhe looks a little shaken up on the play. They'll come running off to the near sideline, and Smith gets 3 yards to the 30, bring up second down and 7. And it's just keeping guys healthy at this point.
I'd have to agree with you, Brandon. Right now, the game where you just don't want anybody to hurt. There's a lot of people in the crowd came and cheered. They're just silent. It seems for both teams. I mean, the Cobras, you know you're up a lot, but at the end of the day, you don't want your player getting chip-shotted right now. And tensions are still high between the two teams.
And you don't want to get a guy ejected either.
Right.
Yeah.
And we thought at one point maybe there was a couple instances where we thought some players could have maybe gotten the ejection. As Julian's busting through a hole, and he'll have a near first down run. On the spot inside the 25 to the 21, it looks like, for a gain of 9, and Julian has another Cobras first down.
I know we talked about the emergency of Smith, best game since last year against Omega. I'm going to say mentally being a little banged up might have helped Jackson Heights away, because now you know, hey, Josh Smith is a reliable guy in the back there. You know, we don't have to run Melly 20-25 times a game to be successful. We can run Josh Smith every once in a while. Even take some pressure off Cade Holiday.
Well, the Cobras well over 300 yards rushing now in the game as McQueen gets another carry here on first down. He'll get inside the 20 to the 18 for a gain of 30. Coming up on the 2 minute mark into this fourth quarter. And what's been a dominant night for the Cobras, leading 40-12. This was a 22-0 game, Jackson Heights at the half. We saw 5 combined touchdowns in that third quarter. It was 40-12 coming into this fourth. That's where we're at. Cobras have 2nd and 7 inside the red zone of the 18. Two guys over 100 yards. Melly's not being one. Holiday 109. Now Julian to the Bucko 2. And here's Smith. The big run once again. He churns his way inside the 10. Forward progress to the 9. It's a gain of 9 and a first down. How about the night for Josh Smith? He is 19 yards away. Sorry about that. He is 19 yards away from potentially the Cobras having 3 100-yard rushers in this game. And you still have Melly's with 54 yards. McQueen has 7 touches for 26 yards. And a lot of this damage being done in the second half.
Yeah, there's been a couple games where Melly's and Holiday have had 100 apiece. But, you know, with 3 backs now, Mason, you know, kind of big as a back. I mean, that's pretty crazy having 3 goals at 100 yards.
First and goal at the 9. Play action. Melly's back to pass. Wide open in the end zone. It is caught by Cornelison for his first receiving touchdown of the season. A little play action magic. And at 9:01 to go in the game, Cobras add to it. 46-12, their lead.
Did you say my name, Kurt? Did you say my name?
Yeah, that was a nice play action. Mm-hmm. That one dropped back. I think back. In that end zone, I believe had 2 great catches today, 1 big interception, and then that one back in the end zone.
Well, that is a near 8-minute drive going back to the midway portions of the third quarter. And the 2-point conversion tries walked in by Smith, and it's now 48-12 at 9 minutes to go
That's
in the
right
game.
Spot now, right?
We'll step aside for a timeout back after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Is it 35 or 45?
I think it's 35.
Guys, all right, for St. Mary's up 20-12 at the end of the third quarter over JCS.
I think JCS
will be up at
that. That's another knee-off.
That's it. That's
that closer to me more central?
Not sure.
I know it's far up north, though.
But I know it's after that.
I'll be there. Like you said, that would be the same championship game if they're on the side of the bracket. Don't be getting to the ground.
Well, the first completed pass for Drake Melly's here tonight finds the end zone for Nielsen, a 9-yard reception for his first touchdown reception of the season. And And it's been a dominant night for Jackson Heights. Two-point try was good by Josh Smith. 48-12, Cobras leading Troy at 9:01 to go. Drive summary brought to you by Wilson Tire.
Well, that
was a 92-yard touchdown drive that took nearly 8 minutes off the clock. And again, capped off by a 9-yard touchdown from Drake Melly to Michael Cornelison. The, should say, just the third passing touchdown of the year for Drake Melly. Another short kick, fair catch by the Trojans.
Yeah,
might have been a stoppage in play before the kick.
Yeah, Jackson Heights went off sides again.
That's the second time we've seen them do that. What if we had about 5 kickoffs that have been moved either forward or back because of penalties?
Yeah, and, you know, we saw the rare kickoff from your own 30, and then they still went off sides, which baffled me. I mean, you know your guys can kick through the end zone, right?
Like, well, again, the penalty numbers, and again, our numbers here will be quote-unquote unofficial.
Oh, Lynn beat Donald 84 to 18.
Again, you've seen a little bit of everything tonight. And what on the scoreboard has been a dominant performance for the Cobras, who are looking to go to 5-1 after taking that first loss of the season last week at number 2 Centralia. Centralia actually lost their quarterback in that game for the remainder of the season. That is a tough go for the Panthers, who are number 2 in the state coming into tonight, but had a tough go, and at least early on, against a really good Garden Plain team in non-district play. So 5 yards after that, this one's going to be booted out of bounds. And there's another penalty.
If I had a dollar for every time you had to say there's another penalty, I'd be rich. I'd be rich.
Well, just looking at the numbers right now, both teams double-digit penalties. You have 10 penalties, or 107 yards for Troy. 12 penalties, 98 yards. Again, unofficially for Jackson Heights.
About $20.
Good number. 9:01 to go in the game. Again, thanks for hanging with us. That was a long third quarter. We had 5 touchdowns in that third period. Touchdown as well here in the fourth quarter. Troy has it first and 10 at their own 46. 9 minutes to go in the game. New quarterback in for Troy. It's an incomplete pass. This is a freshman in Kasten Jasper will look to take the spot of Gannon Bowe, who's going to finish 13 of 26 for 168 yards. A couple of interceptions for him on the night, but second down and 10 at the 46.
I like this call by Troy taking up their starting quarterback. I assume Jackson Heights will do the same thing when they get the ball back, or if they get the ball back on offense. Assuming they do, though. You know, this is a game where you pretty much, you know, shove your JV in. I keep projecting that you've got Surf, Deep, Brody Browning, and some of those players that I know on the JV team. And at this point, you don't want any of your varsity players getting hurt at the fourth quarter.
Aston Jasper, the freshman, now playing at quarterback. And there's a botched end around, and he hands it off to the freshman, Colt Jensen, but he's able to jump back on it. And it's going to be a loss on the play of about 4 yards. It'll bring a third and long after what was another near turnover by the Trojans. So again, both teams certainly playing some younger cats here, late stages. Of course, the year came in with a 99 yards passing, a touchdown, and an interception on 9 of 16. Gannon Bowe done for the.
And it seems to be rerouted, looks like.
At the 42. 8:12, clock moving fourth quarter. It's been all Jackson Heights tonight, 48-12. Jasper back to pass. He'll take a shot. What a throw on the dime. The catch is made for a first down in Jackson Heights territory.
Can we push it?
Sean, the
reception. The routing is messed up.
Right to the breadbasket. To the 34, so it's a gain of 26 yards. That was an impressive throw by the freshman. And Deshaun, who had the touchdown of 11 yards in what was his first catch up tonight. Now he gets
one. That routing got messed up, I think.
Yeah, it was double move.
The routing switch.
Got in between two batteries. Pretty good looking spiral from Jasper.
Trips left and man right under 8 minutes.
So you're in auto, though?
48-12 our score. Now there's a quick screen to the left side. That's going nowhere. Sawyer Ashburn.
Oh, well, that's why. If it says you're in auto, then it's. It kicked out a line of six or whatever.
Second down down at 15.
But he didn't click anything over here.
So again, younger guys getting some opportunities here late in this game. Approaching the final 7 minutes to go. 48-12, Jackson Heights.
I know how Seth did it last week. That's my final stress to make sure we...
Jazz for in the gun. Trips right, two left. Or correction, one man split left. Ball left hash. Trojans going left to right here in the final period of the ball game this evening. Now he's back there by himself. Jasper throws it near side. It is caught. Deshaun again, 35, and tripped up at the 33. About 6 yards, at least got that lost yardage back. They'll give him five. That's three consecutive completions for Jasper. Deshaun, all three of his catches here in the second half, they've gone for 42 yards. 48-12, Jackson Heights, 6.5 minutes to go in the game. 3rd and 9, Troy, the Cobras, 33. Near side hash, and they'll suck up three wide receivers here to the near side right, one split left. Chest high snap, they give it to Ashburn. A running play, they'll get a couple to the 30. Brought down there. Or correction, that was Caden Rosenberger, 5'8", sophomore on that carry. First touch tonight. He gains four, but it's 4th and 6 coming up at the 30-yard line with under 6 minutes to go in the game.
I got the Thunder Store. Name on Central School if you don't have it yet. 24-0.
I mentioned earlier, you know, hopefully not getting into a big fight before this game ends, but you know, I'm glad things are kind of cooling down, especially at the end of the game where, you know Jackson Heights won.
Yeah, it was a hot game, and we'll have a little bit of that in the recap on the scoreboard show tonight on 4th down, a near interception on the far side, incomplete, and that's going to be a turnover on downs, and the Cobras will take it back at 5:21 to go in the game, again leading 48-12.
Yeah, that one almost could have been Michael Carnell's second interception of the year and second of the game. He dived right for it. It's a little cold outside, so kind of hard to get the ball.
So after the turnover on downs, 5:21 remaining in the game. Jackson Heights taking over at their own 30. Julian's as well. So Smith and Julian's in the backfield. Melly's under center. 1st and 10 at the 30. 5:21 to go in the game. Cobras 48, Trojans 12. Right up the middle. And that's Browning, who's got his second carry tonight. That one good for two, maybe three. We'll give him two. It'll bring up 2nd down and 8, just right up the gut. So again, the final 5 minutes of this game, still to run off. Of course, hang with us. We'll have a post-game show to follow, brought to you by
the Cowboys. They technically flagged Ward for
lineman of the game, our player of the game.
When he scored his touchdown for spinning the ball in the end zone.
2nd down and 8, and another big run over the right guard. Just a simple dive play for Josh Smith, and he gets all the way up to the 45 for a straight run of 13 yards. His big night continues, and now he is 6 yards away from eclipsing 100, and that would put 3 Cobra players over 100 yards tonight. And if I told you that before the game, and you would have bet your life savings that one of those 3 would have probably been Drake Nellie's, but that is not the case. Phenomenal night once again on the ground as Cobra's bouncing back in a big way after their lone loss last week at number 2 Centralia. Melly's under center. This time Julian's the give. He's one of those 2 over 100 yards, and he bullies his way into Trojans territory. Gets down to the 44 for a gain of 9. Julian's has had 5 carries here in the second half. His first was a 66-yard touchdown run to open the second half. He's also got carries of 6, 8, 9, and 9. 6 carries for 111 yards for Weston Julian's here in this game. 2nd down and 1 at the 44, 3:40 to go. 48-12 Cobras trying to run this thing down and out. Improved to 5-1. Bentley's under center, takes the snap. They go to Smith again, breaking tackles and staying on his feet through a couple of whippy arm tackles and gets to grind his way inside the 40 to the 37 for what could be about, what, 9 or 10 yards there. Up for a first down. You know, I think it's a great thing that Josh Smith hits that 100-yard mark. But, you know, in my opinion, I don't think you should be still running in this game. I think you should be really looking down to those younger players like Brody Ryan. And I'll look at Titan Eisenbart, but I'm pretty sure he's still shaking up on the sidelines. So, yeah, maybe looking down to some of those younger players who can run the ball and not, you know, want to risk some of your bigger players in this game. Well, that run right there for Smith. Jackson Hikes now has 3 100-yard rushers here tonight.
It looks like they're going to run the play clock down, call timeout. So maybe they are getting a baby. Maybe they just want to get Smith
over 100 yards. Well, regardless, a phenomenal night. Well, it's been a wild evening, to say the least. 48-12 Cobras. 2:48 to go in the game. We'll step aside. Our timeout brought to you by Sprinkles, Homegrown Popcorn of Whiting. We'll be back right after this on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Orphan Family Medicine, now offering weight loss management services. With Dr. Lee Schnee, specializing in obesity medicine, now offers weight management and counseling services on nutrition, exercise, behavioral changes, and medication.
Wick is trying to stick it to Troy by getting starters at the game. I think that's going to do it. I'm interested to see how this handshake might go back. Final 2:48 in this one. All Jackson Heights leading Troy 48-12. Trying to run out the clock, taking a timeout here. They got first and 10 at the Troy 37, what's been mostly underclassmen playing here throughout the course of the fourth quarter, although Jackson Heights has still been using some starters here late, but looks like there is a line change and a lot of fresh players coming in for this final 2:48. 3 100-yard rushers tonight for Jackson Heights. Holiday with 109, Julian's with 111 on just 6 carries, and Josh Smith 101. These are unofficial numbers, but it's been a dominant night, and Cobras bouncing back in a big way. Here's Browning. A couple carries from him in this fourth quarter. He gets nowhere. Gets to the line of scrimmage for no gain. And we're down to the clock running. 2.5 minutes to go. And that is Brody Browning, a freshman. Second down and 10. No gain there. I mentioned earlier in the game that Brody Browning is brother of Alex Browning. Alex Browning, who is a Jackson Heights player for a long time, graduated just last year, had a pretty good year last year, really almost eclipsed 1,000 yards rushing the entire season. There's going to be someone going back to Jackson Heights with the plays. So second down and 10, approaching the final 2 minutes. Ball carrier this time that looks to be Ian Allen. Another underclassman there, getting his first carry inside the 25 to the 23, or sorry, to the 33, excuse me,
and
for a gain of 4.
So, got beat 48-12 last week against Centralia. Looking like you're going to get the reverse of that score tonight. And I'll talk about Centralia. They lost it cold tonight. They're 5-6.
Garden Plains is a really good team.
Garden Plains is a solid team out west, that's for sure, but, you know.
Centralia also lost their quarterback.
Maybe losing Jacob Plenty might be a bigger impact for them than originally thought.
Here's an end around on 3rd and 6. That is Sir Peak, a 6-foot freshman. I'll tell you what, if there's an award for the best name on Jackson Heights, it is Sir Peak. He'll be short of the first down. He gains 4. You know, the name Sir Peak almost sounds like a mountain, and he's kind of built like a mountain. He's one of the tallest kids on the Jackson Heights team. He's above 6 foot. He's only a freshman. You know, he doesn't, you know, have a lot of, you know, mass on him right now, but I can see the kid by sophomore, junior year really putting some pounds on him. That's usually the case for a lot of freshmen. He's got to hit that growth spurt. Well, he's already hit the height. 6 foot, yeah, certainly in the program. Final minutes left in this game. Only a couple plays to go. There's a low snap, and this is going to be kind of a busted play. Allen took the snap, and on fourth down, he needed a couple. Looks like he's going to end up short of the first down.
Hey,
me, I would have given him a first down just to fuck him. Now he has to switch sides.
Well, it's been a long second half. A lot of our games in the area have wrapped up. We want to thank our listeners on both 92.1 and 103.9. It is a turnover on downs. That took nearly 5 minutes to go off the clock there for Jackson Heights. And Troy just to run a play or two, and it's going to be over. Final 33 seconds to go. And again, that is Sawyer Ashburn who takes that handoff, and what is probably, again, or excuse me, that's Rosenberger, excuse me. That's going to lose four. And that should be the final play of the game. Well, let's keep an eye on the handshake line. This was a chippy game pretty early, and there were plenty of interesting plays. Nonetheless, the Cobras win in big-time fashion, 48-12. And Cobras are now 5-1. Bounce back after that loss to Centralia. They will host ACCHS next Friday night. Troy drops to 2-4. They return home to take on Onega. Again, the final score, Cobras 48, Trojans 12. Our postgame show is next. Brought to you by Be Outdoors Real Estate. Buying or selling is the best in the business for recreational, residential, and agricultural real estate. Back after a timeout here on the MSC Sports Radio Network.
Over.
No, don't yell, go Cobras. Let me take my headset off. Take Cobras chin up and shoot some replays and highlights throughout the game. It's real fast. So you guys can get it. Still got the best moments this game. And here's what Frank told him not to do. Go Cobras.
Nothing beats spending the day watching the game with your buddy. Dude, I'm literally right here. Let's do this. Which is why a shelter insurance renter's policy is key to your winning game plan. It protects things your landlord's policy doesn't. Dude, where's your TV?
No way, dude.
Like that flat screen TV that just got stolen.
Your local shelter insurance agent, Tom Bates in Baltimore, Dan Mears in Hiawatha for a free insurance review.
Brandon, if we can get another break after this one,
yeah,
at some point, that'd be good.
Play an extra minute here. I'm trying to get
some
stats.
Okay. Yep.
I got to be here.
Search through our new and used inventory, and if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 785-364-4646, and we'll be glad to help. Or you can always come see us at Foster Ford on Highway 75 in Holton.
What's going on in the real estate market? Can I move right now? Will my property sell? Do these questions sound familiar to you? Simply put, there's always a need somewhere for homeowners to move. Your property will sell, and you'll find the perfect home for you. Take advantage of the current market because it's shockingly an exciting market to be a part of. Contact the Sarah Fox team of Stone and Story Real Estate and set up your consultation today by calling 785-364-0424. The Sarah Fox team, Stone and Story Real Estate Group. It's their passion. It's your lifestyle.
If you're a telephone company, we have internet speeds of up to 1 gigabyte per second. We know how essential high-speed internet is for your work, entertainment, and safety as well. That's why we're here to transform your online experience.
No more staring at loading screens. No more interruptions during your favorite shows, and no more video game lag. More than thousands of satisfied customers who have already embraced the future of internet connectivity with JBN Telephone Company. Experience the freedom of seamless online existence. Say goodbye to slow internet and hello to the future. Contact JBN Telephone Company today.
Keeping you connected to what's most important since 1955.
No matter where your home field is, Integro Seed is at home on any acre. With a proven track record of consistent performance year after year, Dynagro delivers innovative seed solutions to maximize your local acre. Purchase confidently knowing you have a team who understands your land with the right seed that is designed to thrive in your local conditions. Book your seed today at your local Nutrien Ag Solutions or visit DynagroSeed.com to learn more.
Here's Cody with Ice Automotive just south of Fulton.
Well, we were in the exhaust business for so many years, and now it's a complete automotive service shop. Installed brand new heavy lifts for 1 ton, 3/4 ton, bill beds, and easy trips to the 5,500 pickup. We want to treat your car like our own, and if we see an issue, we want to tell you about it, because we're not going to lie to you. treated just like family.
ICE Automotive, just south of Fulton on Highway 75.
KNZA.
They're on the MSC Sports Radio Network. Week 6 of high school football tonight, wrapping up here from Jackson Heights. Whole crew in the house, Brandon Davin alongside Trent Craxner, Brandon and Tyson Proffitt at the Cobra Channel, Colin Felkamp, our studio producer. We have finally put this one to bed, and it was a big win for the Cobra. Lots of dissect to get it done over Troy. Final score 48-12, and game that was 22-0 at the half. We saw five combined touchdowns in the third quarter. Again, there's a lot to dissect, but Crendon, I'll start with you again. At the end of the day, big win against Jackson Heights. They bounced back after the loss to Centralia, moved to 5-1.
Yeah, like Trent said, it's a flip of script from last week. It's 48-12, Jackson Heights lose this week. Again, 48-12, Jackson Heights win. I mean, perfect play by them, offensively, defensively. The execution was perfect, especially I got to call that game watching with Jared. Centralia versus Jackson Heights. That game, it was sloppy tackling, sloppy everything. I talked to the coaches personally. They said I talked to the players, and they said when they were in that game room watching film, it was every single play there was something written on that whiteboard that they had to fix and they had to correct. There was just play after play, there was a mistake made. But tonight, there was not many mistakes, and if there were noticeable, the coach was not able to take advantage of them. And Jackson Heights did a great job executing on all fronts, and really especially on the tackling. I know it's been a lot, but that's big. That's all I saw was broken tackle, broken tackle, broken tackle. I saw a play where seven Cobras got one guy and they still couldn't bring him down. Be able to come in this week and see just, you know, how that gets back. And you mentioned your coach's show, how, you know, Wick said this is the best week of practice. He's seen his players motivated and tough. I saw that tonight. That's a good play from Jackson. Trenton, on the other side, this game got chippy pretty early. There was that, again, what we thought was a missed call. What was a crackback block that was on the third touchdown of the game for Jackson Heights on that 7-yard run by Mellies, where it was Josh Smith who came back and drilled Seth Judd. And that's really when all the commotion started and kept going after that. It led to, you know, Troy's head coach Derek Jasper being all the way on the complete opposite side of the field. All the coaches and players were getting a little rowdy at that point for the missed call, and it certainly was a missed call there by the official, but obviously, you saw the frustration. It kind of bled through the rest of the game. We saw 22 combined penalties between the two teams, a ton of unsportsmanlike conduct, a bunch of scrums between the players. It got chippy. It got physical. You know, taking away just kind of the score, the Jackson Heights win, it was just, you know, both teams certainly had their frustrations. And we even saw a Trojan coach get kicked out.
Yeah, and, you know, lucky for Troy, you get to go back home next week, and
yep,
you desperately need a district win because
K-State's double A.
Yeah,
all right. 21-29.
Four seed right now, so match up with, I think they coincide with the JC and the St. Mary's. So if ever won that game, you're playing either JC or St. Mary's
potentially.
Yeah, more than likely if you can find a way to win. But you know, like I said, you come back next week, so. You can this one. Forget about it. You watch the film. See what you did wrong. Clean up the penalties. And, you know, you go back to your home turf. And a must-win game, really, to get in the playoffs because, and I guess they still got Riverside, but, yeah, you just got to forget about this one for sure. And you look at it with the new announcement, Troy's in the ATL next year. So this two teams could be meeting again next year. And, you know, a lot of guys will be coming back for each team, so, you know, some of these guys will be remembering some stuff, and it's like, oh, yeah, I remember what that guy did to me last time. Yeah, I'm still upset about that, so you got to forget about it. It was a tough night. You know, we talked about the pregame run of ball against Troy's been really bad for their defense, and Jack Knight had three guys over 100 or really close to it, if not, and just really unfortunate. You got to put a good team performance together next week at home.
We'll go to the stats in just a moment. We're due up on another break here, but we do got to announce our alignment of the game brought to you by Giant Communications. When you need a strong, reliable network for your home or business, Giant Communications, protect your blind side. Ask about how whole home Wi-Fi can better your network experience online at giantcom.net. That's giantcom, giant C-O-M-M.net. And I think we can all agree it was, and really in the first half, that entire defensive front for Jackson Heights, Wyatt Rollins, Anthony Gulotta, and Max Watkins all getting a sack in tonight's game. Of course, J.W. Moore was in the backfield a lot. Let's just give the entire defensive line for Jackson Heights. Our lineman in the game, again, three sacks tonight. Won by Rollins, Gulotta, and Watkins. J.W. Moore, of course, leading this team in sacks. Just a minute in the backfield as well as they held the Trojans to 7 carries for 13 yards on the ground in this game. We got to take another timeout. We'll come back. We'll get you our player of the game, go through a couple of numbers, and then wrap this one up. Again, our post game is brought to you by B Outdoors Real Estate. Buying or selling, use the best of the biz for recreational, residential, and agricultural real estate. Big win for Jackson Heights. We'll close it out when we come back on KNZA and KNZA, and also on the Cobra Channel.
Hi, I'm Ryan Linfool.
I think it's 29-21, then they win for 2, and then get it, and then they kick the ball out of bounds.
We are
Linfool experts and outdoor enthusiasts. 9 minutes. Steve Hall won 24-0.
That is their 6th straight shutout.
Hill Lake won 54-0.
Third place. Steve Hall on schedule is giving up 1 point per game.
Third place won over Cecilia 35-6. Helsley beat Clifton by 40-26. Colleen beat Clifton by Handale 1-28-7 over Cleveland. Last I saw, St. Mary's got Colleen called to get up there to ask for a goal. I'm trying to find anything on Twitter. There you go, final. St. Mary's 34-18. St. Mary's won that distance. They get like some clouds.
Are you good, Colin?
Yes, we are all good.
Yep.
This is Roger Howard with Kellerman Real Estate. Although prices and interest rates have increased, there is still buyer demand. This 6-7% is a more normal rate over the past 20 years. The buying consumers have adjusted to that.
Still appears to be more time. On the last break.
My crew texted me asked to direct the game tonight. I said we never would have been that out of hand. But my crew, they listen to our shows. They listen to local sports. There's a lot of local guys. They don't listen. People listen.
Oh, I know they do.
So a lot of those guys are like checking in and asking. They want to know what's going on. We have experienced ad members that can
be in the form or in our office. Call us today if you know Randy or Luke.
Back with you one final time. Jackson Heights 48, Troy 12. Big district went to the Cobras, bouncing back after their loss to Centralia last week. As we'll announce our player of the game momentarily, but just going through some of these numbers, total yards tonight. As our stats are brought to you by the Optimized Tax Management Group, total yards 431-201 in favor of Jackson Heights. Cobras did it all on the ground. 59 carries for 422 yards. They averaged 7.2 yards per carry. Drake Melly's completed just one pass for 9 yards. That actually was a touchdown to Michael Cornelison early on in the fourth quarter. But again, all the damage done on the ground. Jackson Heights unofficially had 3 100-yard rushers in the game. Kate Holliday, 16 carries for 109 yards and 2 scores. Weston Julian, who had the biggest play of the night, 66-yard run on an end around on the first possession of the third quarter. Again, Julian, 6 carries, 111
keep
yards, touchdown. And then Josh Smith, 14 carries, 101 yards, and a touchdown as well. Drake Melly's, of course, a little quiet for him, but he found the end zone twice, 9 carries, 54 yards. Only the second game that Melly's has not gone over north of 100 rushing yards. Again, things got chippy. We saw coaches get ejected. We saw scrums between the two players. Had a little bit of everything. Combining for 22 penalties for over 200 yards. A lot of personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conducts were certainly provided on both sides of the ball. Now time for our player of the game. It's brought to you by Citizens State Bank and Trust Company in Hiawatha and Crendon. Since Jackson Heights, big-time win, victorious here tonight. 3 100-yard rushers. The defensive line had 3 total sacks. You know, there's a lot of ways you could probably go with this one. I mean, where do you lean as far as a player of the game tonight?
Yeah, if I'm looking for a player of the game, obviously you had Millies, who had, you know, the most touchdowns that he would lead on the game. But overall, a big, strong performance would lean, I would say, to Josh Smith. He had a really good...
Can you hear me, EJ? Can you hear me?
Also had a tough, great...
great game. And just, you know, just because he's a senior and he had a lot of emotion game, I think it was lean a lot of emotion. Really, especially when he was playing defense, he had a lot of moving tackles himself. I believe he, Well, Holiday, again, he's the second leading rusher coming in. He's had multiple 100-yard games, so this is, you know, nothing new for him going for 109 yards. But you look at Weston Chulions, who came into the game through five games, eight carries for 51 yards, and he goes six carries for 111 yards today with that touchdown. And then Josh Smith came into the game with just 11 carries for 45 yards. He goes for 14 totes, 101 yards, and a touchdown. So those two obviously huge tonight. Hadn't done much really through five games. And I think it's fair. Weston Chulions, Josh Smith, a little combination there. Our players of the game been brought to you by Citizens State Bank and Trust Company in Hiawatha. So it's going to finally wrap it up for us here tonight. Again, thanks to everyone on the Cobra Channel. Of course,